The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 29th day of October, 2012, an historic day. U.S. markets closed for Hurricane Sandy, and the nation braces for what many are calling is potentially the worst storm in history. So our prayers are with all of those who are in the path of the storm. If you are in the path of the storm, if you would like to share with us your story and what you're doing, by all means, feel free to give us a call, log in, send an email, tweet, Facebook, whatever it might be, and we keep you, we will keep you in our prayers through this entire ordeal. European markets are down sharply today, and in overnight trading last night, we began down, now markets are closed. Our soybean trade that we had placed, we actually put the call out early last week. That triggered last night at 15:51 and made it all the way down to 15:30 and a half. If you follow us on the tweet, then you've already seen that we've issued a tweet to bring those stops down to lock in the majority of that profit. That's about a 20-cent profit, which is equivalent to 20 points in the S&P 500. So you don't want to let that get away from you. Michael will not be with us today. His mother-in-law is in ICU. She's been sick for a while, but she's had a heart attack. So Today we're going to remember Michael and his family in our prayers as well, just as we did last weekend, or last week, for Jim. And over the weekend, I got an email from Jim regarding the outpouring of thanks, or his thanks for the outpouring of support, email, phone calls, prayers that he's received since he talked to us Thursday night in the live or in the partner's workshop regarding the situation with his daughter Amber, who is sick, and his wife, who has to be away from home and out of town to take care of his daughter, and he's alone, home alone. And he said he's really been touched, and I'll share with you the email later in the show today. Now, in Michael's absence, joining me is going to be my good friend Jonathan, and I'm going to take a look here in the audience to see if I can find him. Got a Jonathan L, but not a Jonathan R. Okay. Also with us today, Robin will be popping in. And Robin, she's going to go over, she had sent me an email, and I was kind of rushing to get the show up and going. And we will continue to broadcast through the storm. There's a possibility that the markets will be closed again tomorrow. If the markets are closed, then the live trading room will be closed. And anyone who was on a free trial, we will extend you out a couple days to make up for this. Now, the greater concern, of course, right now is the people, their safety, and the damages that will be caused by this storm. The markets will come back, and we'll go back to that'll all fall back into place as it normally does. America, if nothing else, is incredibly resilient, and I think we all know that from past tragedies that we have seen. Okay, it looks like I've got Jonathan. There we go. Hey, good morning, Jonathan. You got a live mic.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that.
You don't.
How are you this morning?
You don't want a live mic?
No, it's fine. Absolutely.
Well, now I've not been following the news all morning. I've been away from the television set, but I think, from what I see, it's all pretty obvious that this is pretty bad. Do you have any insights, any thoughts? Do you know anyone who's in the eye of the storm?
No, I mean, I have some friends who are in New York City at the Dream Center there, so I've been kind of in contact with them. But they're just doing everything that they're supposed to do. And at least in talking to them, chatting, they don't seem to be overly worried or concerned at this point in time.
I'm sorry, what was the last part now?
I said they don't seem to be overly worried or overly concerned at this point in time.
Well, you know, I hear two different things. I hear this is either the worst, this is going to end up being the worst storm in history, or not. And I guess it just remains to be seen. I got a few pictures here that I'm sure anyone who's been watching the news, you've already probably seen these. But right here, this was out a half an hour ago. We're still several hours before Hurricane Sandy makes landfall, and the pictures of flooding from New York and New Jersey are quite ominous. Here are some of the pictures. This is Atlantic City. I just heard Atlantic City is already underwater. To what degree, I don't know. This is FDR Drive in New York.
Wow.
This is Red Hook, Brooklyn. And definite flooding there. And again, this Sandy hasn't even hit Battery Park. Ocean City, New Jersey, says Kathy Orr of CBS. Officials in Ocean City, New Jersey, the ocean has met the bay. We've never seen anything like this. So for some areas, it certainly is going to be a historic event, and not of a good nature. JFK Airport. Now, let's see. Over here. Ocean City Pier. Point Pleasant Beach. This guy really should get inside. These are pictures taken with Instagram. They're calling it Instacane. Okay. That's the thread. Wow, what a picture. And I posted some photos last night on the Twitter of the empty subway stations. It all looked very ominous, like you might expect after some kind of a nuclear holocaust or something. Is Mother Nature doing what Mother Nature does, and that's exactly whatever Mother Nature wants.
No, that's true. True that.
So our broadcast will be abbreviated today, guys. Again, Robin is going to come on. David will not be with us. He's out of the office, you know, boating, fishing, doing whatever it is those big shot traders do when they don't have to show up to work because the markets are closed. And we're going to visit with you today. And tomorrow, if the markets are closed, the trading room will be closed again. But we'll come back and still do the radio program. Just kind of let you know we're here and to continue to let those out there who are in the storm know that we've got you in our prayers. And, you know, it's not just getting through the storm. That's only one element. The other side of it is dealing with the aftermath, the cleanup, the repair, the expense, the insurance claims, that's if you've got insurance, and dealing with the insurance adjuster, and then dealing with all the guys that come out to, quote-unquote, repair and fix everything. It is an ordeal. So these folks, they may be out of harm's way by tomorrow night, Wednesday at the latest, God willing, but their agony will extend for months.
Yeah, I have a friend who runs a ministry called Christ in Action, and they have 18 large trucks, tractor-trailer trucks, and they basically go to where disasters are afterwards for the aftermath. They were at Katrina for 5 months. They were both at the Pentagon and Ground Zero for months afterwards, and he's in Scotland right now. His daughter is getting married, but his ministry and all the people there are all poised on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on when it ends, to take the tractor trailers up the East Coast and do what they can. So I know that the aftermath is very important.
Bruce just texted in, I'm north of Philadelphia. Jersey Beach towns are getting flooded. The big thing will be losing power for several days. Bruce says the casinos all closed yesterday. I assume he means in Atlantic City. Bruce L. says there are power outages where he's at. Where are you, Bruce? And Davis says that crude oil actually seems to be trading its way through this. Let's go have a look.
Yeah. Yeah, crude oil and gold were both trading, as well as natural gas and bonds this morning.
The bonds traded, really? That's surprising.
Yeah.
GCLF3. Looks like if they were trading, it may have stopped. Bruce L., he's in Washington, D.C. Power outages anticipated tonight. So, Jonathan, what else has been going on in your life, brother? We haven't had lunch in a few weeks now.
Oh, gosh.
We're looking for do that again.
Oh, yes, definitely. For a while, it was the just on a personal note, it was the year anniversary of Pastor Godchich's passing over the weekend, so there were a lot of things going on with that. We launched that supporting or sponsoring orphans ministry that I talked to you about. So we launched that over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And so that website is up. Other than that, you know, I'm a trading junkie. So
what's the website?
I'm sorry?
The website that you guys launched this weekend?
It's called www.helpleoskids.org.
I'm gonna teach everybody something right here. Hey guys, see my browser?
Right.
Help Leo's kids.org?
Yes.
We officially abandoned the WWWs a while back.
Yeah, that's true.
But everybody still says it, though. It's out of a force.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
Actually, you know, the really cool kids have stopped saying .com. Like when you talk about
your
website.
Yeah, exactly, too.
My website is blah, blah. And the really cool kids no longer go .com because people
just... Yeah, well, as you can tell, I probably was never one of the cool kids, so...
Me either. Me either. I always hang out with them, though, just so I can be reminded that I'm not one of them. So here, this gentleman right
here,
Leo Godsage, for those of you, his was a national, actually an international ministry. He was tragically killed last year in an automobile accident in Kampala, Uganda, East Africa. Interestingly enough, you know what they say, it's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it. This tragedy happened very near our orphanage, New Hope, and I received a text message from my guy, Pastor Chris, who has been running New Hope Orphanage since we began it back in 2000. Now, Pastor Chris grew up in Uganda. He is an African native. He sent me a text message and says, Dwayne, and I can't believe what just happened. And I texted him back, no, what? And he explained to me, and he goes, I don't know what to do. And as best I could, through text, I attempted to walk him through the situation. And in Africa, guys, when a tragedy happens like this, a traffic accident, it's not like somebody dials 911 and suddenly you hear, you know, the sirens of fire trucks and ambulances coming from all directions. That doesn't happen there. What happened is after about an hour, Pastor Christopher, along with the help of a couple of other guys, they actually had removed the bodies from the wreckage and prepared them for transport to a hospital where they could be sent back to the United States to be properly handled and a proper burial and all of that. But this was a great man. Tell us a little bit about Pastor Leo. You certainly knew him and you knew his ministry far better than I do.
Sure. He was a son of immigrants who survived the Holocaust. His grandparents did, and came over here, and he was born in New York City, a very, very smart man who, later in his days, had a call to ministry. He ministered here in Phoenix at a church called Phoenix First Assembly. And he started with an AIDS ministry and moved from there into a marriage ministry and built an international marriage ministry, he has over 200 name centers or counseling centers for free couple-to-couple counseling to promote and support marriages and strengthen them. He was responsible for the Covenant Marriage Act here in Arizona, as well as other laws around the nation that supported marriage. And he and the gentleman there in Uganda, John Michael Mugera, who founded the Destiny Orphanage there, were great friends. And the orphanage over there takes care of about 1,300 kids between the school and the actual orphanage itself. Just a good man, a great man. And, it's always, I don't know what the right thing to say is. I'm not going to say shocking because God is never shocked or surprised, but he was somebody that I knew that was walking in destiny and in the right place, and for him to have gone home at a time when there still seemed to be so much work to be done was something that we all who knew him had to work through.
And
but
Pastor,
in his last conversation with his wife Molly, mm-hmm. He expressed this desire to overtly help the kids there at Destiny, and so we went ahead and launched this ministry on the anniversary of his passing, called Leo's Kids, and we just put it out there, and we just got finished with it.
Yeah, what a great man, a powerful ministry, helping families, marriages across the country here, and then reaching out to the lives of these children on the other side of the world. Guys, visit the website, helpleoskids.org. And yes, I know I have an orphanage, or we have an orphanage with 800 kids, and why in the world would I promote someone else's orphanage when our kids need to eat? But you know what? It's not even about that. It's about, it's not about my orphanage or their orphanage. And just as in the church, you know, so often amongst pastors, it becomes a thing of my sheep or his sheep. Well, no, we're all God's sheep. And let's face it, God could have called us anything, but he called us sheep, the dumbest, filthiest animal on the planet, bar none. They really are. When a sheep falls down, they can't even get back up by themselves. They have to have help. So, with that said, it's the children that are important. So whether you're helping kids through Leo's Kids or New Hope, or, you know, the kids are innocent victims of their geographic destiny, the rampage of AIDS across the nation. Over 13 million children have lost one or both parents to the deadly ravages of AIDS. And they're innocent. And they wake up each day, and I got to say, and I'm sure these kids are no different, at New Hope, these kids, even though they understand that their parents are gone, that they are dependent upon the love and care of strangers to survive, to eat, to get an education, to have any hope for life, these kids are so filled with joy. Sometimes when I'm driving down the road and my two kids in the back of their minivan, each with their little electronic device, you know, one's on a Nintendo DS or whatever you call it, the other one's got, and they're just bickering at one another after they just got up from the table where they had a big plate of food, and now they're off to, I don't know, a movie theater or whatever it might be, and you would think they were being tortured in a third world country. They're making so much racket back there, yelling at each other. And I just turn around. Sometimes I stop the vehicle and I go, hey, guys, stop. I understand you're 10, you're 5. But, you know, you have so much to be thankful for. Just, you know, how about a little gratitude? How about a little peace? Okay, Dad. You know, and then 5 minutes down the road, it starts up again. So, anyway.
Yeah, you're so right. And James 1:27 says, true religion in the sight of God is taking care of the widows and orphans. So it doesn't matter who's, what's, there's no pride of authorship in any of it. It's about taking care of and doing something outside of yourself.
Amen. Amen, brother. Well, what's been going on in your trading of late? Anything new? Any breakthroughs? Trading any new instruments?
No, you know, I'm pretty static. I trade mostly the ESs, as you know. Sometimes like in the summer when it starts to get a little stagnant and the volatility isn't there, I will trade in gold and the crude because it moves more aggressively, but you know I'm pretty much a clipper, so I enjoy the ESs. They tend to move in a way that works for me, and as a profile trader and a volume oriented trader, there's the capacity there to be able to trade, I think, effectively and efficiently.
What's a good day in the markets for you?
Anywhere from 8 to 12 ticks is what I go for. Each day, that's the daily get that we try to get.
So in ES terms, that's 2 to 3 points.
Yep, anything between 2 to 3 points, and I'm good for the day.
You know, the one thing born out of my previous incarnation as an E-mini trader and through learning in the School of Hard Knocks and all that you and I together went through, the one thing I really took away from that was that a couple points a day is an extremely good living. And that's probably one of the most difficult concepts that we have, is getting that thought across to people who come into trading and become CFRN partners and want to immediately reach for the stars and knock it out of the park early on in the game. All things that I understand, because I not only wanted to do them, I did them, or let me rephrase that. I tried to do them. Batter up. I mean, you know, if trading one contract is a good thing, then trading 10 must be a great thing. Trading 20 must mean you're a real man. No, it means you're an idiot if you don't know how to trade. Oh, so how much money did I have to lose to learn that? I'd rather not talk about it. Okay, but it was a lesson well learned. And so some people go, well, you know, your education might be a little spendy there, Mr. Reeves. Huh, I beg your pardon. Compared to what I paid for my education, you're getting a smoking deal. So,
you're 100% correct. You know, when I talk to other traders and I discuss it with them, especially those who are either new or have gone through some of the same things you and I have gone through, we talk about the differential between being water cooler traders and coal miners.
Tell me what the difference is.
The value of being a coal miner, going in, putting on your hard hat and going to work and basically just making progress every day is just so important. That those traders that trade so they can stand around the water cooler and talk about how they did this or how they did that, they all ultimately are going to fall and fail.
Yeah, well said. It's so true. And I understand the frustration that people have when getting started, because on one hand, I'm telling them to only trade one contract. And I'm telling them that 2 points a day is enough. And they go, well, simple math, pal. That's $100. I can't pay my bills and provide for my children's education and all these other things on $100 a month. And my answer is, well, I know that. And that's why the transition from whatever it is you used to do to the world of trading and being a trader is a difficult transition, because if you only have a little money, then you got to go through a period of really tightening your belt and doing whatever it takes to build your account from the one contract to 2 to 3 to 4 as you earn money in the market. And if you come in from a previous occupation, maybe you owned a business, and you have a substantial bankroll, you have to work just as hard to fight the urge to just go, I'm all in. Because that's not going to end well. And you're going to be bitter and angry. And you won't be able to say, nobody warned me, because we've warned you plenty of times. And so it's difficult, but I'm telling you guys, it's the path you have to take if you ultimately want to be successful in trading. Is whether you have a little money or a lot of money, you really do need to start with one contract, and you need to earn enough money with that contract, let's say $1,000. Okay, I mean, if you're earning 2 points off of your one contract, that's $100 a day. Okay. Do that 10 days in a row, you've made $1,000, you've earned the right to go to two contracts. Now, the amount of time it takes to go from 2 to 3, each time it shortens because you're dealing with more contracts and you're only looking to earn $1,000 to take you to the next contract. You will, through the power of compounding, you will get to that number of contracts you want to trade freakishly fast if you'll be patient. If you're impatient, you'll never get there. It's like when my kids start saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I just start driving in circles. And I go, we ain't ever getting there. To you guys, not that often.
That's hilarious.
Oh, so, I mean, we have Michael X, who comes on the radio show, who is a trader who trades an enormous number of contracts, and this is verified, and we don't bring him on the show to show off. We bring him on to just make a point that there really are people that do incredible things in this market. It's like watching professional sports. Now, me, I don't understand the thrill of watching these grossly overpaid, in my opinion, young men run around on the field and slap each other on the backside. But I understand that a lot of you men really get a thrill out of that, and I don't want to take that from you. But just as you would stand in line in the driving rain to get an autograph from Joe Namath or whoever's popular in the world of football today, some people like to talk to a really successful trader. So that's why we have him on the show. And he comes on very humble, never thumps his chest about his exploits. In fact, we literally have to pull the information out of him. But when we ask him, how did you get started? He said, well, I started with very small. I trading a very small amount. Okay, well, but now you trade a lot. How did you get there? Well, you know, I just kept adding a little as I went along. And so now here's a guy who trades, on average, 10,000 E-mini contracts a day. And when asked on this radio program, what's a good day for you in the markets? He said, any day I can take two. Now, and I didn't... This was not on a cue card, okay? I didn't pass him a note and says, this is the answer I want. I really wanted to know the honest answer. I said, what's a good day for you on the markets? And he said, any day I can take 2 points out of the market, that's a good day for me. And some of you would go, well, yeah. If I had enough money to trade 10,000 E-mini contracts, then 2 points a day would be enough for me as well. Well, he just told you that the way he got to 10,000 E-mini contracts is that he started very small and worked his way up. He didn't just walk up one day and go, I think I'll be a trader and trade 10,000 E-mini contracts. That's not how he got there. Now, I dare say that most of us will never get there. Most of us will never pitch for the Yankees. I'm just saying, odds are, most of us listening to this radio program will never pitch for the Yankees. Doesn't mean we can't go down to the park and have a great time throwing the ball with our son. But, you know, there's people in every industry and every sport who truly excel and do great things. Doesn't mean you can't earn a nice living as a trader. But I would not set my sights on trading 10,000 E-mini contracts. What I would set my sights on, if I were you, is to learn how to consistently earn 2 points a day on average, day after day after. How long? To the point where you can't remember the last time you didn't get 2 points. That's how you know, that's when you know we're there. When you can't remember the last time you didn't get 2 points, you can go, oh, we're there. Daddy stopped the car. All right, fair enough.
I agree. I think that the objectives of traders get convoluted from the standpoint of why traders begin trading. And if the focus was to be profitable every day, that we would get to where we want to be much quicker, with much more confidence and a greater capacity to ultimately get to the goal that we all want to be at. I mean, any trader that I've ever talked to regarding this, if I asked them this question, I said, if you could eliminate your 10 worst trading days, how much better off would you be? And all without fail say, you know, I would be either profitable or I would be so much more profitable. The idea and the focus is what you talk about consistency, about being profitable and building a skill set where you mentally and technically can go into the market each day and take something from it so that you can be profitable. So like Mark Douglas says, when the market gives you an opportunity or presents an opportunity to pay you, you accept that opportunity.
You know, and that was always pay. He said exactly. He said, I'm trying to remember exactly how he words that. But as soon as the market makes some money available, you take some of it, right? Is that no? That's not the exact quote, but
well, that's he says when the market offers to provide you a profit, you take some.
There you go. Well re-said. Now, guys, you know how much I recommend that book, Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. Not only do I highly recommend it, but I also make it available absolutely free to you as an e-book. And I'm going to put the link in the chat room, as I do each and every day, as soon as I find the link. And you can go and download Trading in the Zone. And I understand that it's an audio book, and so you won't be able to see the charts. Well, good news, there are no charts in Trading in the Zone. And that's why a lot of people resist buying it and reading it. Number one, they want the charts and the indicators. They don't want to hear a bunch of psychology mess. And it's $40. And so they just go look for something that has pretty pictures. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. You really need to read the book. It's not going to teach you any trading tricks. Oh, no, actually, it'll teach you the greatest trading truth of all. And that's how to get your mind right, what you need to be thinking about as you approach the markets, what your reasonable expectations should be. It is just a wealth of knowledge. And I've read that book over and over. I've listened to the audiobook. I could go on, and I probably will later in the show. And I will find the link, and I'll put it into the chat room. Now, if you want to download the audiobook, you click the link I'm going to put in the chat room in a few minutes. You go there. They're going to want your Amazon account or your credit card because they want you to join their book club. They give you the free trial. Because they want to suck you in. Let's just be honest, okay? They want to suck you into that book club. I'm a member, and I enjoy it. I've got a bunch of credits built up that I need to take advantage of, but they don't expire and they don't go away. So I know that my audiobook needs are met for months to come. I downloaded Steve Jobs' autobiography of the many books I've downloaded and listened to. That one's 28 hours. Mark Douglas's book's only about 7-8 hours. But you go, you take the free trial, the link I'm going to give you, you download it to your iPhone, your iPad, your computer, or wait, all three places if you want. And then you can go right back in and cancel your subscription, cancel your account, cancel your free trial. You're never billed one dime. It's not like they bill your card and then they put it back on. No, they give you 2 weeks before they ever bill your card. So you have 2 weeks to enjoy the book, and then cancel your account. And guess what? When you cancel your account, you get to keep the book. That's a pretty good deal. Now, if you've already read Trading in the Zone, you've already read Steve Jobs' autobiography, they have 100,000 titles to choose from. They do sponsor this radio program. We do appreciate your patronage. So when I put the link in later, by all means, click it and go read the book. Now, it'll help you. I'm telling you, it won't. You reading that book, it's not about putting money in my pocket because you read a free book. I mean, do the math, okay? You reading that book helps you become a better trader. It has a wealth of information. Now, we brought up sports and overpaid athletes. The athletes did not do this. Now, Jonathan, are you a sports guy?
I played sports in high school and in college, so I enjoy, but I'm not a big time watcher of sports.
Did you hear about what happened in San Francisco last night?
No. You mean after the World Series?
Yeah, the Giants won the World Series and spawned small scale riots in San Francisco. More than 10,000 fans gathered near the Civic Center to watch the game. At a public viewing, after the game, a few hundred fans set fires, smashed cars, threw bottles at police, and climbed streetlights in the Mission District of the city. A bunch of people tweeted out photos of the scene, which seemed totally out of control. A city bus was set aflame at one point. Police say several arrests were made. Now, who are the two teams playing?
It was the Detroit Tigers and the San Francisco Giants.
Okay. Now, guys, you gotta get this. The Giants won. Okay, let me say that again. I think some of you missed it. The Giants actually won in their hometown of San Francisco. Did I get that part right?
They actually won in Detroit.
Oh.
I mean, they were playing in Detroit.
Okay,
it was game four, and they played in Detroit.
They were playing in Detroit away from home, okay, and they won. So San Francisco won the World Series in an away game. And so the people at home, to say thanks to the players for all their hard work, set fire to this city, right? Is that what happened?
Nah, that's apparently what happened.
Oh, my God, what if they'd lost? What would they have done then?
I don't know. It's San Francisco.
They'd all put on makeup and went out for the evening. They'd do each other's
hair. Yeah, I don't know. But I know that happened. That happened a couple of years ago when the Lakers won the NBA championship. There was rioting. They burned a couple police cars, and it's people just are crazy.
Dwayne G wants to know who the gentleman is we're talking to. What makes you think he's a gentleman, Dwayne G? This is my good friend of many years, Jonathan. He knows a lot.
I like Dwayne G. Dwayne G and I can become friends.
He does have a great sense of humor. He really does. But that's who I'm talking to. Jonathan's been trading E-mini futures for a long time. He lives here in Phoenix. We have lunch together from time to time. And we're going to be doing all kind of stuff together in the future. And we'll probably just be a part of each other's life forever. But
I certainly hope so. Certainly hope so.
Dwayne says, I tuned in late, but I've listened long enough to call him a gentleman. Very good.
I like Dwayne G. He's got great discernment over character and quality of human beings.
He really does. And he's funny. Now, guys, if you are in the eye of the storm and you're hoarding stuff, this is what you need to be getting a hold of. Or actually, at Trader Joe's, Trader Joe's sold out of some surprising items while multitudes of other items remained. The key finding, the store sold out of bread and bagels, but there were still tons of pita bread on the shelves. Go figure. Turkey burgers were sold out, but there was still plenty of fish and sausage to go around. Newman's Own pasta sauce sold out, while brands like Prego and Classico were still on the shelves. Barilla Plus whole wheat pasta sold out. The white pasta remained. Cheerios, both the original and honey nut, sold out. Original flavors of Oreos and Chips Ahoy sold out. Scallions sold out, while most other produce remained. The Huffington Post also did an analysis of items flying off the shelves at New York grocery stores. Bottled water sold out in most varieties. Selections of Progresso soup were sparse by the end of the day, but there were still plenty of Campbell's to go around. Eggs nearly sold out at Trader Joe's in Brooklyn, and shoppers were snatching up energy bars. Okay, and FEMA has said that you should tweet instead of making phone calls. With Hurricane Sandy bearing down on the East Coast, FEMA took to Twitter with a bit of sound advice. Use text messages or social networks to communicate. This will reduce congestion on mobile networks, allowing for better communication for everyone in the path of Frankenstorm. They named it, other than Sandy. Hurricane Sandy is likely to wreak heck on several states. There's expected to be widespread flooding. We already know that. Don't be selfish with your phone use. The idea behind FEMA's plan is sound. Voice calls consume significantly more bandwidth than text messages. Okay, so why do we have unlimited voice, but then we got to pay 20 cents a piece for our text messages? If they consume less bandwidth. It's very important.
Because teenagers rule the mobile market.
Yeah, and it's and parents are an easy mark. It's very important to communicate, but your mom does not need a play-by-play of the action. Tune to the Weather Channel for that. Text messages and social networks are well-suited to handle the simple message of, my building survived, I'm fine, going to the bar. Phone lines may be congested during and after Sandy. Let loved ones know you're okay by sending a text or uploading something to your social network. That is a good idea, guys, because phone lines may go down in your area. But if via a mobile device, you can get out a tweet or make a post on your Facebook page. Then people who know and love you in other parts of the world can go to your Facebook page and you're waving, saying, I'm okay. And then they can rest easy. Hey, Jonathan, Robin's going to come on. Let me go and look out
awesome.
In the audience and find her.
While we're doing that, I know you tweeted out about Michael's mother-in-law, and they're standing in agreement over that. Any new news?
No, but would you like to lead us in a short prayer for her?
I would love to. Do you know her name?
I don't. It's Michael's mother-in-law, and I don't. He's probably told me at some point.
Oh, no worries.
History, but
I will. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can come to you and lay at your feet all concerns and all issues, Father. We understand and know by our words, Father God, and in those things which you say in the mighty name of Jesus, there is healing. So we pray for the peace that surpasses understanding through the Holy Spirit for Michael's family, and we pray and stand on healing in Jesus' name for his mother-in-law. We're so grateful. We're so thankful, giving you praise and glory and all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I know he appreciates that. And Jim T., we're continuing to pray for your situation as well. I don't see Robin in the studio audience, but she emailed me. Let's see what she's got to say for herself. We'll call her on the speakerphone. Robin, I just went to look for you in the studio audience, and I couldn't find you.
You went to look for me in the studio audience where?
On the radio program.
Oh, is this Bob?
No, this is Dwayne.
Oh, Dwayne, I didn't get anything that you were doing anything today. I thought maybe you stopped. That's where I emailed you.
You sent me an email that said, hey, Dwayne, or you left a voicemail. I want to know if you want me to do a presentation during a show today. And I actually replied to a voicemail because via email.
Okay,
well, yeah.
You want me to jump in there?
Yeah, come on in.
Okay, I'll be in. Bye.
See, guys, I told you this is live radio. There's no careful scripting going on here. We have some little sound.
And wait till you stream it on TV, huh?
Yeah, okay. You're going to have to really work hard on that one. Robin's going to pop in, guys, and she's got something that she wants to, a little presentation she's going to give regarding, I'm not sure, I'll wait and let her explain it to you, but I do want to remind you all that on Wednesday, October the 31st, at 3:30 Central, we're going to have a webinar with Steve Bigelow, who was my candlestick mentor. And he's a interesting guy, a little bit gruff, but he really knows his way around a candlestick. I know you've heard the story before, but it's true. The book he sent me when he used to be on the radio program back in 05, 06, I literally read it till the pages fell out. He is sending me a new book to replace that one, and he's sending me a copy of his brand new book, which is Removing Emotions from Your Trading. That's not the exact title, but you get the point. We're going to do we're going to do a webinar with him Wednesday afternoon, October the 31st, 3:30 Central. If you go to the blog, which is right here, and you scroll down, I guess you got to scroll way down. I better repost that. Gee, I was certain. Almost certain. Oh, I've got to repost it. It is way down. You know what? I'll put it in the chat room here. It's on the blog, but I need to move it way up because I posted that last week. I'll get the link back. I'll put a link in the chat room for you guys. But it's really well worth an hour of your time. And there's not going to be any hard sell at the end to try to close you on buying something. He did agree to make a special offer to the CFRN audience. But if you've always wondered about candlesticks and, you know, my first teacher in the world of E-mini tradings, he said that it was nonsense. He used to make fun of it and talk about the flying hibachi and all of that. And me being somewhat naive, I didn't know any better, and I thought, well, maybe he's right. But over time, when I had an opportunity to look at one thing versus another thing, and then the whole time I was watching candlesticks in the background, as I began to read that book and began to understand that it's not anything mystical or magical. It is a candlestick is simply a graphic representation of investor sentiment for the time period you're looking at. If you're looking at an hourly chart or a 1 minute chart, that candlestick is a graphic representation of investor sentiment over the last minute or the last hour or the last day or the last week. It's agnostic when it comes to markets or time frames. It just is. And it's been around 400 years. It's not the latest thing to come down the pike. Now, it's only been in the last few decades that it's come to the Western world and to Wall Street. But the Japanese rice traders have used it very successfully for 400 years. So if you come Wednesday afternoon at 3:30 Central, for an hour, you can hang out, you can listen with no obligation to buy anything or to become a member, or you can just come and take away whatever you can take away and then embark on your own study if you want. But at least you'll get enough information from someone who really knows their business, enough about candlesticks to have authored 3 or either 4 books at this point. So check it out. Spend an hour with us. And then there will be a special offer made at the end if you do want to pursue an education in candlesticks. If you don't, here's the thing. Once your mind is opened to what a candlestick has to say, the book I'm writing, which I've been writing forever, it's called The Secret Life of Candles. Good luck with that, Dwayne. I've been working on it for a while. It's called The Secret Life of Candles. Once you understand what a candlestick is telling you, then there's no way you can ever trade without that information. It's not something that once you understand it, you go, oh, you can never turn that off. It's impossible because you now possess knowledge, and you can't take knowledge away from someone. You can't take away their wisdom. And that's what it does, really, is it gives you wisdom about the sentiment of the market, whatever market it is, whatever time frame you're in. So come hang out Wednesday afternoon. It's absolutely free. And now, there we go. I see Robin. Let me give her an open mic. Robin, good morning, and welcome to the radio program.
And good morning, everybody.
We've got Jonathan on with us today.
Oh, terrific. Terrific. I've been running around here calling my friends in New York, making sure they batten down the hatches and checking to see if my relatives will be okay and that they're all set. So I've been calling all over for this crazy storm. And, boy, I missed it by 1 week going to New York. So yeah. I called my mom
and asked her the same thing, and she says, son, yeah, I'm on Social Security. You know we can't afford no hatches. I said, I'm sorry, Mom. So.
There you go. So I didn't know. Did you want me to do a presentation or not, or I'm not sure.
I'm not against
yes,
it.
Yes, no.
What kind of presentation you got?
Well, I have one that's from the website, and I'm just looking through it now to see if this is appropriate, but I can do something if you give me about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, sure. That sounds
good.
And
it's up to you. You'll have to turn over, and I'll have to get my screens adjusted for you.
Oh, you want to take the screens? You can do that.
Huh?
Yeah, if you want to do that, sure.
Yeah, I've got a PowerPoint, and it's a really good presentation. I mean, if you have the time, you sure?
How long will it run?
Let me just check how many slides there are. Hold on. I haven't looked at this one. Oh, there's probably, you know, without the little extra slides in there, there's probably, I'd say maybe 30 slides.
So are we at a minute a slide, 2 minutes a slide?
Yeah, a minute, unless people have questions. I can, you know, I can go faster, or you just tell me how much time you got.
Let's do it.
Yeah? So can you give me 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
All right, give me 10 minutes
to get this straightened out here,
and I'll just text you when I got it done.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, guys, courtesy of the Franken Monster, you're going to get a free 30-minute to 45-minute / 60-minute presentation from the trading coach, Robin Dane. Now, this is something that you would normally pay good money for, but as a courtesy to help us out on the radio show, she's going to do the presentation, go through the slides, so stick around, don't go away. Look at this daily chart up here. We tracked this price channel for, well, since May 16th, and then last week or a week and a half ago, Mike Reed was on the show, and we were discussing what would happen if this thing broke out of the price channel. It did break out of the price channel to the downside, and we took the channel, which is 80 points wide. We created this little marker, which is 40 points wide. See, we just created it 40 points, and we stuck it on the bottom of the channel. And no matter where you stick it, because an ascending channel, it just walks it all the way up. And so, price came right down, hit the bottom of the channel, and held so far. Because that was the theory, is that if it breaks out of the bottom of the channel, it will initially go half the distance of the original channel, at which point it may now bounce and go back into the channel, or it may continue to work this channel on the way up. But we knew where support would potentially come in based on this. And this is nothing new either. This isn't the latest thing down the pipe. This is basic technical analysis 101, been around forever. And you would do yourself well to learn this, whether you learn it as a CFRN partner or through some other method. Just having this knowledge is very important. Okay, let's see what I've got in the question box. Lynn says, it shows just how eroded our national morals have become. This is something that I think big government actually spawns when such a large percentage of the population is receiving free handouts from the government. There is no longer any respect for the property of others. Oh, she's referring to what happened in San Francisco. They don't know what it's like to work for and earn their own property, so they don't respect or the value of it. I agree with you. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the people who were setting fire to stuff in San Francisco, maybe they were originally from Detroit. That's just the most bizarre thing in the when you win, you set things on fire. Dwayne G says, interesting that Progresso sold out but not Campbell's. Are people really smart enough to think their water may be off, but there should be enough rainwater for Campbell's? Oh, okay, because Progresso you don't have to add water to, and Campbell's you have to add water. Is that your point there, Dwayne? All right. So, Jonathan, anything else you want to add or talk about as we wait for Robin to come in? And then if you have to take off, I understand. I will show you guys, we had a swing trade last week which had a maximum point value of 17. We also issued a new swing trade on the Globex Open last night. It has not triggered, and It's saying right here, exchanges will likely be closed again tomorrow, but the decision has not yet been finalized. I bet you when the markets reopen, when they do reopen, that swing trade is going to trigger. So for those of you who are partners and have access to that, keep your eye on it. It could, and we're not here to make money off of anybody's misery in any kind of way. This trade was put in before I even knew that the markets was going to be closed. Biggest storm since 1888. That's what they're saying. Go ahead, Jonathan. You were going to say something?
Oh, no. I was just, as you know, I am interested in the markets and what lots of different people look at and go. So you know that I've followed Fibonacci's Elliott Wave and all those disciplines just to make sure that I was educated and able to converse realistically within the market. So if you were an Elliott Wave practitioner, you would be looking for this down leg to continue and continue for a ways, maybe at least down to the 1380 or the 1360 area on this, and then retrace and then do a fifth leg down that might get down to the 1300 area if you were a larger time Elliott Wave person.
Really? 1330, huh? 13, now you say either 1330 or 1360?
Yeah, so if you were an Elliott Wave practitioner, we would be in basically right now looking for the longest leg of this down move. And so it would break at least the 1380 level and go maybe to 1360.
Look at that.
Did you guys see
what I just did? Let me do it again so you guys can follow along. Now this little, remember we measured this to get to here. Now I'm going to copy it, Control C, and I'm going to paste it. That's exactly 40 points wide because the channel is 80 points. Now if I come and I stick this in right here, where do we end up? 1360, or close, 1370. Mm-hmm. Now, if we were to crash out of here at this point, it takes us right to 1360. In other words, when the markets finally reopen, if there's time delay, the price moves up. So the first step was to travel half the width of the channel. The next step, if we're going to continue down, would be to duplicate the channel. Jonathan is talking reflected wave and using a little bit different terminology, but do you want to go any deeper into that? Or?
Oh no, as you know, I'm a clipper of the market, so that I only look at this stuff when I have nothing else to do. So I clip each day and I don't do that, but I like to occasionally from whence I came.
Yep.
Every once in a while get back to the 30,000 foot view. And for those things, I use other techniques than I do to trade on a daily and a myopic view of clipping. But in that, if you were following Elliott Wave, or some of those analysis there, you know, we made a top, we did the ABC, and now we're in the beginning of a downtrend, which this would be the second leg, and in the second leg of an Elliott Wave move, it's the longest wave, or it's the longest leg, which means then we'd at least be looking to get to break the 1382 area, that's a previous shelf to the left, and get down to about 1360. Maybe even all the way down to 1330, depending on how strong the move is, before we did another retracement of any size.
Jerry has a question. I'd be interested to know what time frame Jonathan uses to trade for his 2 points.
Is that okay for me to talk about, Dwayne?
Absolutely.
Oh, sure. All right, then I use a 610 tick chart on the ESs.
Now, I'll give you a chance, overlaid with a
market profile, volume overview.
Okay, so did you get that, Jerry? A 610 tick. Now, that's not the same type of tick chart that you see us using here on the program or in the trading room. We're using what it's actually a range chart. But we use Michael uses a four tick range chart. That's different. Okay, that's a great question. Lynn says, well, so what is a 610 tick chart? I'll show you. Let me go to this right here. Okay, right now this is a daily chart of gold. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down here and I'm going to say custom. And then I'm going to go to ticks. Jonathan, you want to explain what a tick is?
Sure. A tick is a transaction or a trade. So it records a new bar, a new candle, whatever your preference is, every 610 trades.
And let me ask the question that everyone wants to ask, why 610?
It 610 is a Fibonacci number. And it for me, it provides based on the volume of trading and the volume of contracts on the ES. It provides a small enough move, like with Michael when he's using a four range bar.
Four tick range.
It keeps things under control. The 610 does the same thing for me, but because I'm looking at volume from a different standpoint and in a different way, I'm interested in the capacity of transactions as a market profile practitioner, as a believer in the auction theory. I'm interested in the capacity of trades between traders. So I'm interested in how many times things are trading, and that's why I use the tick bar. And then I'm interested in volume, and so that's why I use the market profile volume.
Now, right here, guys, this is an ES chart on the 610. Now, let me be quick to point out, 610, it's not a mystical or magical number. It's a Fib number.
No, it's not.
It's a number that Jonathan picked because that's a time frame that he's comfortable with, okay? Just as, now, this is the ES. Have a look at what this chart looks like. Okay. Now we're going to go over to, now, see, he's measuring transactions. Okay, 610 transactions per candle. What I measure on my favorite chart is, let me open it up. We were doing some work the other night. Let me open this up. What I'm measuring on my chart here, let me open it way up. I'm measuring 10,000 contracts per candle. So I'm measuring the number of contracts traded. Every 10,000 contracts, I get one candle. And with Jonathan's method, he's getting a new candle every 610 transactions. Now, see, a transaction could be one contract or 1,000. Over here, I'm measuring 10,000 contracts per candle.
Can I chime in just for a second? Absolutely. There, Dwayne?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would want to make sure that Dwayne's point is accurate. There is nothing magical about a 610 tick chart. It is an arbitrary pick. It's based on volume and capacity, and I will concur with Dwayne that I'm a believer that volume is paramount. Volume is the number one thing that I want to look at. Just the difference is when I'm looking at it, I'm using a market profile type of look at it to be able to see volume the same way that Dwayne is seeing volume on his charts.
And I want to say that the 10,000 contract volume chart, that is also not a magical or mystical number. It is simply a number that after much study, I decided it gave me the view that I could really appreciate and be comfortable with. It kept me from getting whipsawed. Now, back when I was trading tick charts, I used to trade as low as an 89 tick. In fact, some folks traded as small as a 55 tick. But sometimes I traded an 89 because that's a fib number. I traded a 144 because that's a fib number. And I traded 233. And you know what? Any of those numbers can work for you. The smaller time frames, it's a little tougher. You get more movement, but you can get chopped up a little more. 610, that is real. That's a kind of a, and I used to trade a 610 chart for a while, and that is, the market gets slowed down almost. I'm not sure how it runs in comparison to the 10K, but I'm going to think it's somewhere in that same neighborhood, give or take.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's pretty close. It's probably just a little bit faster, but yes, it's not that much different from that standpoint as far as the way it looks. And to the point, I would want to concur, and I'd want anybody that's listening and think the chart that you're going to trade, whether it's going to be volume, a tick, a range, it's about what gives you the mental edge as far as what feels right for you, that looks right for you, it behaves in a way that you're comfortable with, because I think that everybody would agree that once you've learned the technical aspect of it, that's about 10% of the journey, and then the rest of the 90 or the 85 that you need to go is the mental part of it. So you want something that you're comfortable with, that gives you and you feel you have an advantage, and what's going to be right for one person may not necessarily be completely right for somebody else.
Well said. Quick question from Patrick, and we're going to Robin, and with Elliott Wave, what time frame do you use to determine various waves? Is that a 610 as well?
No. Well, I don't look at the Elliott Wave much on the 610 because it moves around too much. In the Elliott Wave, I'm looking at much longer time periods, so dailies, hourlies, looking at a bigger picture. And I want to make sure I don't use it a lot other than to generate and look at an overall bias.
I think your term earlier was you look at it when you get bored.
Yeah, I think that's probably more accurate. You know, when the day is done, or before I start, or in a time like this when I'm conversing with you and I want to sound like I know what I'm talking about, I might pull that cat out of the bag.
Okay. And Dwayne G has a quick question before we go to Robin. I like watching volume 2. Would love to hear a quick explanation from Jonathan how he watches for a setup, if he and you don't mind. I don't mind.
Okay, a setup in my trading?
Yeah, he likes to watch volume, and he would just like to get an idea of what it is you're looking for with volume to know that you've got something setting up.
Sure. I use a market profile overlay with volume. So I use a traditional market profile approach. But instead of using price and TPO, which you see on charting that doesn't have the license from the CME for the market profile, they use TPO charts. Mm-hmm. I use the same chart, except mine is completely volume based. So what I'm looking for first and foremost is whether or not trading and transactions in the market are happening inside collective value or outside. And then from there, I'm looking to determine one of two things. Number one, am I in a trending environment or am I in a ranging environment? I will never forget the conversation I had with Dwayne once over lunch when we were talking about that. And we said that, you know, if traders could truly understand whether they were in a ranging environment or a trending environment, then the technical indicators that they have would work all the time sometimes. Now, I know that sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but it certainly was apropos. So the first thing I'm looking for is for us to be in a ranging environment, and then I'm looking at from it to move from volume nodule to volume nodule based on the profile. I'm not sure that helped him, but if not, then I'll try to explain a little bit more if I can.
All right, we'll have you back, and maybe we'll do a webinar one day.
That would be wonderful.
And who wants to learn a little more, Dwayne says it's a start. Thanks. Okay. All right, guys, I'm going to – Robin, are you there? Or do I need to probably re-enable your mic? And then yep. I'll switch the Oh, nope, you're here. Okay, so now I just need to make you a presenter. You got your charts ready to go?
I got my, presenter. I'm just see how it's I got two screens here, so I'm not sure how it's gonna go, but let's give it a shot.
Let's see what we got. Okay. All you gotta do is accept.
Hopefully it'll show the right one.
Three inescapable trading emotions and how to manage
good.
Them.
Let me. Can I? Is it too small?
I can see it. I can see it fine.
Okay. Good. Okay. Perfect.
Now, as you get started, I'm going to mute my mic for just a moment, refill my coffee cup, but I'll be right back. You just keep talking because everybody else in the audience can hear you.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And I'm getting comments from the audience. The picture's perfect.
Okay. Good. Good. I'm going to put this other one up here. These are just some of the testimonials from the coaching. Again, I didn't mean to do this as a sales pitch at all. I'm just going to leave this up here so you can get an idea what traders do when they do coaching with me. A lot of people are a little confused as to what coaching is, and I seem to be a little bit different from everybody that's out there, or so they tell me. I really don't know, but that's what I've heard. My technique is very focused and right pinpointed to whatever the trader's going through. So I'll just leave this up for a second for you to look at. I put this presentation together quite a while ago. It's very relevant, and I just did a quick refresh on it. It does exist in another location, which where I'll tell you at the end, in case you need to go through it again. But these are three things that traders experience. There's more than three, but these are three that I focused on because it does have a great impact on your trading. And just becoming aware of these three things will help you start to shift them. So shifting them is the key. You want to be able to shift them. This is called, and let me switch again, the three inescapable trading emotions and how to manage them. So these are three that you're gonna experience. It doesn't make a difference. You're gonna experience these. We can't help it. It's just part of the job. And knowing that they're there and knowing how to manage them will help you in your trading success because, as Jonathan was talking about, the emotions are gonna be the thing that are gonna be your greatest obstacle. You can have the greatest methodology, you can have the greatest setup, you can know exactly what to do, but if you go into fear, apprehension, uncertainty, hesitation, anything like that, and you don't pull the trigger, don't take the trade, the system really doesn't mean anything, does it? So knowing these three things, and there's more, like I said, knowing these three things at least will give you some idea of, kind of what's happening. Additionally, I'm going to give out two prizes. I offered this to Dwayne because of the hurricane and the markets being closed. I said, well, this is a good opportunity. Let's just go through this and do a free presentation here and let you kind of introduce yourself to emotional coaching or some of the things that are out there. And if you do need help, then please feel free to get some help or at least call me and ask some questions. I'll share with you a story really quick about a trader who called me about September. He called me when I was on the road and I was up in Connecticut where I coached the hedge funds. And he called me and he says, I've been losing and losing and losing. And he does 100 contracts. I mean, big, big contracts, big size. And we had a good conversation on the phone and I diagnosed what was wrong. And he says, I said, how did you find me? And he says, my trading partner told me about you, and he had heard about you through somebody else. Most of my business is done through referrals from people that have had challenges, and they, you got to call Robin because she'll turn me around. And so I'm very fussy about taking care of my clients because that's my biggest referrals. So, we talked. I said, you really need to do something with me fairly quickly because you could really do a huge blow up the way you're going. Because there is a pattern that a trader will go into when they start to go off, and it can get worse and worse, like a snowball, and they can really blow up their account badly. And so, he says, okay, and so I expected to hear from the guy, in a week or so. Well, I didn't. And then just this weekend, I got an email, and he says, you were right. And I said, what do you mean? He says, you were right. He says, you told me to not do anything and to work with you. He says, and I didn't listen right away. And he says, I went back in, and he says, the first couple of days I traded okay. He says, and then I had a huge blow up, and I said, see? And he says, I just couldn't believe it. I can't believe I'm so up. And he gave me his numbers, and I won't repeat his numbers. I mean, they're really huge. And he was losing really big. And so now he's going to start coaching with me. And so he happens to be in Long Island. That's right. He's in Long Island.
Wow,
so right now he's kind of hunkering it down. He's batting down the hatches. So he's not going to start till after the storm is over.
Have you talked to him today?
I emailed him, and we're going to start talking as soon as the storm is over.
I'm just curious how he's doing with the storm.
He says he thinks they're going to lose power, and he's confident he's losing power, and that he's losing internet. And that was the last I heard. And then I just called my cousin. She said it's just started to rain in Manhattan. She's on Park Avenue. It's raining there now. She's facing in a good direction, which is good, in her apartment, and she's all set. And then my other friend who had a place in Battery Park, they moved uptown to a different place because Battery Park was just too close to where everything was going to start to go underwater. In fact, they showed the sidewalks underwater a little while ago, but it receded. It was at high tide, and high tide doesn't come back till 8 o'clock tonight. So, you know, the worst hasn't hit there yet, but they're definitely battening down the hatches, and there's nobody on the streets, and it's kind of spooky. So,
Hopefully.
To see Manhattan with no people on it, it's really spooky.
Yeah, I was looking at pictures last night, and I put some, I tweeted some pictures out of the subway station all empty.
I didn't mean to interrupt
the flow here on the presentation, but I kind of wanted to just make sure you knew I was back. So.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we're ready to go?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, so this is the three inescapable trading emotions and how to manage them. Okay, so I'm going to go through. I'm not going to go through the non-disclosure. I just really appreciate you don't record this or tape it or do anything.
Well, now, it will be part of the podcast, but there won't be any video. There will be some audio.
Okay.
I can scrub want me to.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah, that's okay.
All right.
I just don't want other people just sending it out. It's okay for you.
All right.
Okay, I always put this picture up again. I used to do this, but I feel bad now because I really like Michael Jackson. I really think that he just really had some challenges in his life, the poor thing.
He did.
And it was a real waste of talent.
What's her name? What is her name?
Huh?
The lady.
This is,
I
forgot. Somebody will type it in there.
Somebody type in who this lady is on the screen.
The actress.
Joan Crawford.
The Mommy Dearest. Mommy Dearest.
Joan Crawford. There we go.
Crawford. Joan Crawford. Yeah. Sorry. Joan Crawford. There it goes. Okay, so this is just my background as a trader's coach. I'm not going to pass that. Okay, so here's this transforming the ape to man. Now, what I'd like you to do, there's a prize at this end. I have two prizes at the end, so I'd like you to write down if any of these apply to you. And at the end, you're going to give me a number. So here we go. Do you, as a trader, and this is, you know, right where you are right today, not something that you've done in the past, but this is an evaluation of where you are right this second. Do you experience emotions of apprehension, frustration, uncertainty, hesitation, lack of confidence, anger, fear, before or after during a trade? If you have that, write down one. Do you get hooked into taking a trade knowing you should stop? If you have that, write down another tick mark. Does your ego take hold, resulting in the I'll show 'em attitude? It's almost like revenge trading.
Mm-hmm.
Do you increase size when you've had several losers to regain your profits quicker? Do you end the month at break even? Do you have multiple losing trades with the same pattern and can't stop? So you're doing the same trade over and over again, making the same mistake over and over again? Do you have seesaw trades where your winners just get wiped out by the losers? Were you very successful in another profession and are finding trading a direct attack on your confidence and ego? Are you compelled to exit too quickly as fear creeps in? Do other traders' opinions influence your decisions or create doubt in your trades? Do you trade defensively versus offensively?
Now, Robin, would you do me a favor?
Go back.
On the question, do you trade defensively versus offensively, could you maybe explain?
Yeah, I would say most of the time, so like in the beginning of your trade, you may have to go defensive if the market throws you a curve. But when you first go into the trade, are you offensively trading? In essence, do you have a plan that you're offensively knowing how you're going to grab the money from the market? Or are you placing your trade and then going defensive on trying how not to lose the money you have or trying not to lose? So are you offensively trading most of the time or defensively trading?
Okay.
And
so
actually,
do you
defensively trade versus offense? And if you're doing more defensive, then you answer yes to that. Otherwise, you answer no.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Do you get emotionally hooked and trade with no preparation just to be in the game? Do you have big swings in your profitability, having several great days followed by bigger crash and burn days? Have you ever gone into the I don't care zone and just watch your money disappear or the trade get away from you? I also refer to this as the deer in the headlights. So you're looking at the trade, and you know you should be getting out of there, but you just kind of don't do anything. That's the I don't care zone. Do you recharge when you need to? Do you lose sleep over your trading? Have you hit the glass ceiling in your profitability and you can't seem to get through it? And I'll have traders that will hit a certain dollar amount and they can't, they'll make, you know, they can go up to $1,000 and they can't get past $1,000, or they have a monthly goal or they have a yearly goal they can't seem to get through. Glass ceiling. I call that the dollar threshold. Do you get emotionally or physically exhausted after the trading day? Do you not tell the truth to other traders about your trading day or your family? Are you honest about your trading results, or do you experience denial and avoidance? Do you have a set of rules and you do not stick to them? And finally, do you beat yourself up when you lose or carry it to the next day in your trading day? So do you beat yourself up and or then lose, and then carry that feeling into the next trading day? Okay, so now we've got 22 questions that you could have answered to. Count up what you have, and if you would post them, I need to know who had the most amount and who had the least amount. So if you could do that, that would be great.
Yeah, I got a 13, them? I got a 12, I got a 9.
Wow. Well, you're going to like this presentation.
Got a 3.
Oh, 3 is good.
Another 9. Got a 15.
Okay. 15 is the biggest so far, right?
Yep, so far.
I think so. Okay. So anybody else? We're going to end it right now.
Got
anybody
an 11.
Else? Numbers in.
Got
be real.
19.
Oh, come on. Are you real on the 19? Please tell me you're real. You're not faking. Yes, yes, no, no?
Yes, she's being honest, and no, she's
okay.
Not faking.
Okay, so we've got winners. We've got the 19 is a winner, and the 3 is a winner. And what I'm going to need for you to do is at the end, you'll see my email. You're going to email me. Do you have their names, Dwayne?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and so you'll just get me their names so that I know.
Okay.
And so here's kind of your test results where you fall. If you've got 0, you're the ultimate trader, outstanding disciplines, and you're in total control. If you've got 1 to 6, you're on the way and you're in pretty good shape. I mean, this is really a good category. So the person that had 3, congratulations. I mean, I'm going to give you a because that's very, very challenging to get. If you've got 7 to 10, you're an okay trader, but there's lots of room.
Sorry, a little delayed reaction.
Thank you.
Studio audience is on break.
Yeah, that's perfect. You've got some improvement if you've got 7 to 10. And if you're from 11 to 20, you know what? You need to get some help because you're going to struggle if you don't make some changes or you're just going to run into the risk of not making it at all. So this is where I get really concerned. So those two people, the biggest one and the loser one, you are the winners, and you're going to get a CD from me, a free CD.
Awesome.
So I need to have your email addresses, and at the end you'll see my private email, and you just send that to me. Say, I was the number 3, and I was the number 19.
And guys, I know who said what, so I can confirm.
And I'll check with Dwayne, so don't try to get a free CDs. Okay, here we go. Okay, here's the ape to man transformation that'll help you. This is to gain an understanding of why some of these emotions happen. This is going to explain why trading brings these challenges or baggage to the surface. It's going to help you understand what human traits and triggers that we all naturally have. And in understanding who you are as a trader, it's going to help you manage more emotional control and reduce stress, knowing that you're not the only one that are having these experiences. You know, so many traders call me and they go, they're almost afraid to call me because they're embarrassed to say that these are happening to them. But the reality is almost every trader, there's never been a trader I haven't talked to that hasn't gone through these, which is why I came up with these. So here's the three emotions why I came up with ape, because it was acceptance of losing, that's one. Patterns, the automatic triggers within your subconscious. And then emotions, you know, men are non-emotional, and that's really not true. In fact, if any of your wives, for the men of you out there that are listening, any of your wives who think you're not emotional, feel free to have them email me, and I'll explain how emotional you can get. Okay, so let's start with the first one. This is conquering the ape within, acceptance of losing. Men are socially conditioned from birth to succeed, the little train that could. You know, you have this tendency to be number one, to be the best. And when people come into trading, they are not conditioned socially to lose. So they're unprepared to lose. So most new traders are unprepared to lose. Losing takes a direct attack on your emotions and your ego. And it hits, each hit or loss goes directly to the ego and shatters your confidence and certainty. This impacts your entries and your exits. So this is one of the only professions that you have to learn to accept losing. There's very, very few professions, and maybe there's another one out there, but I haven't thought of it, that you have to accept losing graciously. Just make them smaller. I jumped there. Wow. Okay. So socially, we're conditioned. Now, I say men, but over time, women have fallen into this category as well, because we've become, you know, the breadwinners as well. A lot of women are independent. And so a lot of these things women have taken on as well. So socially, though, men are typically conditioned to be the best, to be number one, to have all the answers, the breadwinner, be invincible, top of the class, can do anything, overachieve, always be right. And I had this in the presentation before the GPSs came out. And, of course, never ask for directions. And I'll put money on it that it was a man that created the GPS. Okay. Your previous years of life have an impact. There are very few professions that come with this inherent, unavoidable challenge and possibility of losing each day. Every day we have this possibility. There's not one trader that has succeeded, lasted in the business, and has been profitable that doesn't have a war story of losses. Not one. If somebody comes up to you and says, I've never lost, they're lying. I've never, ever, ever seen a successful trader that has not lost. Should a trader's cash withstand their development time to overcome this? Typically, the losses for the successful trader end up being their rite of passage to wealth. Why? Because they finally got the lesson. In the losses, when you have a really big loss, like this guy who's calling me back, and he had this really big loss, he's going to get the lesson this time. And he shouldn't have a big loss like he's got now once he does coaching with me, because we're going to make sure he gets the lesson. Number two is pattern conditioning. Pattern conditioning, we are all wired to be drawn to automatic internal subconscious patterns. think of your favorite restaurant. You know, you go to your restaurant, you get your menu, you ask what the specials are, and many, many times, and you could be different, but most of the people that I talk to will end up ordering the same exact thing that they ordered the time before. Same exact meal. When you go from one place to another, you drive the same way. When you go to get dressed in the morning to go trading, you pick out your favorite shirt, your favorite pair of pants, something that's comfortable to you, something that's a pattern. Why? Because patterns in general are patterns of behavior. We have these built-in automatic, they're subconscious, addiction for patterns. Why? Because our mind and body draws them in like a powerful magnet. Where we intellectually know what to do, but we are drawn to do something different and we can't stop, that's because we're into an addictive pattern. So a lot of times a trader will have a tendency, now that you know that your body does this automatically, it loves these patterns, and it loves them for a lot of reasons. It makes you feel secure and certain and solid. And so our bodies love them. So when we get into a pattern, our body grabs onto them. The problem is our body doesn't distinguish between a good pattern and a bad pattern. It just grabs onto the pattern. So patterns are all around us. They're all around us in nature, right down to cellular structure. If you look at a snowflake, you'll see that it's almost a perfect pattern. And all the markets that we trade, what are we looking for when we go in there? Patterns. When Jonathan's talking about looking at volume, or looking at the 610, what is he looking for? A pattern. So patterns are all around us, and they serve us in many, many good ways as trading, but we have to notice if we're picking up bad patterns. So knowing that they're there and that they're affecting your trading is very critical, because your body's going to grab onto it, and it's going to take it, but it could be grabbing onto a bad one. So you got to know. The faster that you identify them and stop them and cover them and change them, the faster your trading will get on track. I'll have a trader that call me and said, I can't do anything right. And I'll say, what do you mean? He said, well, I took 7 trades today. I can't do anything right. He said, oh, so you lost it all 7. Well, no, I only lost at 4. I'll say, okay, well, tell me what you did at the 4. Oh, I did this. I did that. Oh, yeah, I did they're all the same. I said, great, now that you identified exactly what you did on all 4 of them, don't do that again. He says, but I can't stop. Ah, pattern. He's in a pattern. His body locked onto it, his mind locked onto it, and he just repeats it over and over again. So then I say, well, tell me what you did with the 3 that you did well. He says, I can't remember. Okay, I said, you can't remember? I said, okay, so that's the thing you want to identify. So one of the suggestions that I give you, and this is not in the overheads, is that if you have a series of great trades that work really well, write down as much detail as you can on those trades from what you're seeing in the market and your charts, because that's the thing you want to repeat when your trading goes off, and you'll have a good clean list. So that's really important. Okay, so what happens when we're in autopilot mode? Your beliefs, your behaviors, your experiences from the past, plus your hidden subconscious triggers you may have programmed into your autopilot mode, now surface when trading unexpectedly. This could take a direct attack on your ego, confidence, and profitability. Results one bad identical trade after another. Even though the trader intellectually knows what they're doing wrong, they can't seem to stop. So the body's internal mechanism is now on autopilot, and the trader struggles to stop it, and that increases your frustration. Probably the two emotions that I hear the most in trading are fear and then frustration, because the trader's having so much of a challenge to turn things around. Now, these are all happening from neuroconnections. Neuroconnections are just nothing. It's a fancy name for the connections that the mind makes when you look at something, you hear something, you smell something. These are all neuroconnections. I don't know if you've ever seen the, you know, like a tentacles coming off of a spider web or whatever. Those are the kinds of neuroconnections we're making on a continual basis. So we're storing information wherever our eyes or ears or any of our senses are tapping into or getting stored in our mind. So our greatest power that we have is the power of thought. and yet we're not typically trained how to use or manage our thought. Nothing we do, nothing we can do occurs without a conscious or a subconscious thought. Nothing, absolutely nothing. So each day our neural connections are formed, whether we want them or not. Some are good, some are bad. Some connections get installed when we least expect it. As, you know, like somebody who, let's say, bites their nails. This is not a good thing to do, but they get into the habit and the neural connection triggers them to bite their nails and they go into a habit. As traders, we often fall prey to the emotions of frustration, anxiety, and self-doubt, not knowing or understanding how to get over them. So emotions overpower logic and reason. This is very important. Emotions overpower your logic and reason.
And that makes no sense at all.
Excuse me?
I said, and that makes no sense at all. That we would allow our emotions to control us, because we have logic and we have reason, and you know, we're supposedly the intelligent beings on this planet. But I'm agreeing with your statement that we do lose, in the heat of the battle, we lose all logic and reason, and our emotions drive the bus. Yeah,
right. So that's why I'm so big on thought, because thought is the power that you have to overcome some of this. So emotions, you just have to be aware when you're trading, are you in an emotion? And if you're in any kind of emotion whatsoever, your logical mind is turned off. So let's show you the power of your mind. Okay, I love this study. Okay, if you would read through this, I'd really appreciate it. Take your time. Do, 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 do. This is done a Cambridge study, and it's to show the power of your mind and how your mind puts things in control.
This really, I've seen this before. This really is fascinating.
It's fabulous. I mean, it's just fabulous. And it just goes to show you that how...
And, you know, that's what makes it so difficult when you write an article or a blog post or even a letter to a friend, and you go back and you try to be your own editor. I mean,
I know it never works.
You should know, for all people,
the writing that you do, my goodness.
I'll read a post 50 times, and then I'll go back 3 months later and read it again. And all of a sudden, like, all these things jump out at me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did you not, you know, because when I write something, I proofread the heck out of it, but my mind doesn't see what's really on the page. My mind sees what I intended to put on the page.
Exactly. And it's because of this particular concept, you know, that you look at something and you it looks right to you, even though it's all scrambled up. So it's amazing what the mind will do. It will readjust because you have the intelligence and you've stored in the proper way of reading things. And the mind doesn't need all the letters. It only needs actually the first and the last one. It's pretty cool.
That is
so
amazing.
I love this study.
Yeah.
Okay, so how to identify a block. Okay, blocks are very, very important. This is what I'm writing my book on forever and ever and ever, like Dwayne. A block, I have found, is the primary reason that traders fail. It is the number one reason that traders fail. In fact, this guy that's been trading forever and ever, and I'll just give you an idea. The loss that he described was, the greatest part of the loss was $67,000. And then he got back $87,000. And then he lost another $87,000 the next time. He was up and down and up and down. I'm talking big bucks. And so all I want you to know is he has a block. And that block, I don't care what he does, he's going to have to deal with it, or he's going to be out of the business. And it is the number one reason that traders fail. So let me explain to you what a block is. Each day we take in information through all of our senses, our ears, our eyes, our nose, our touch, sensing. Some of these are good and some of them are not, and there's a typo. Your brain doesn't have the ability to filter out the bad stuff and only keep the good stuff. It takes everything in. So that's our challenge. When we take everything in, we're taking good stuff in and bad stuff in. Now, I always use the example of a candle. If you never experienced a candle before, and I said, do me a favor, put your hand over that candle. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to like it. And you did, and you got burned, and you said, ouch. In that moment got formed a neural connection that was the size of a thread. Then I said, you know, that's really, that wasn't supposed to happen. Many, many people have done this before. It's supposed to be great fun. You're going to feel terrific. Try it again. Well, you only had one experience, and you trust me. And so you do it again, you get burned, and you said, ouch. In that moment, the first neural connection attached to the second one, because you had two experiences now, but now it became the size or the width of a cable, became stronger and thicker. Every time you experience something that's similar, it doesn't have to be exactly the same. Anytime this person, let's say they didn't get a candle, but they got burned on something else,
mm-hmm.
that connection would stick to that one too. Anything that's similar gets stuck to the connection. It's called stacking. In the mind, it's called stacking. And it grows and grows and grows. And what happens is the body goes into protection mode. With the connection being installed from those two experiences of getting burned by the candle, if I ask that person to put their hand over the candle again, what do you think they'd say? They'd probably say, what are you crazy? No way. Boom, protection mode. If your body knows it's going into harm's way, it's going to protect you. It's really fabulous. It's a great mechanism we have. Okay, protection mode, if you have a neural connection installed and it triggers the protection mode, you'll have these kind of responses. You'll have a verbal response. You'll say, no way, I don't think so, you're crazy. You'll have a physical response. If I went to grab your hand and put it over the candle, you'd probably pull it away. And you have an emotional response. Fear, apprehension, uncertainty, hesitation. In a nanosecond, this happens automatically. A nanosecond, boom, the thought comes in, your body triggers, protection mode kicks in, and everything happens in a nanosecond. Except protection mode's great for candles, but it stinks for trading. Okay, a loss is going to have the same effect on your mind. A loss is going to trigger. If you have one loss after another, which I'm guessing the person who had 19 challenges or 19 yeses on the test, this is something that they're dealing with. You have one after another, or you have a really big one. Now you're stacking this in your mind, and the same effect is going to happen in your body as the experience with the candle. You're going to go into protection mode. So you're going to have, you're going to have fear, apprehension, uncertainty, hesitation. It's going to affect your trade. If you get up the courage to enter the trade, most likely you're going to enter the trade and you're not going to enter on time. Now you're in the trade. Well, what happens when you enter the trade late? Well, of course, it starts to go against you. And now you're panicking because you're starting to lose money and you need to get out of the trade. And so now you exit. And then what happens? The trade goes in your favor and goes in the right direction. Right? How many times does that happen to you that you go one way, the trade goes always in the other direction.
And you know, so, everyone sitting here listening to this today is going, yeah, how does that happen? And why mm-hmm. does that happen? And now think about it. There is a sizable number of folks sitting in this room listening to this presentation today. And if that really were the truth for each of us, and to some degree it is, I don't know mm-hmm. that it's reality, but it's our truth. How could the market be so smart as to outfox so many of us the instant we put on our trade? Just throwing mm-hmm. that out as food for thought.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So the key thing is just to, you know, awareness is the first part of changing anything. Any kind of awareness, making you aware that this is happening will now make you come up with other suggestions on how to fix them. So we're going to go through how to fix some of these. So three is your emotions. Men don't have emotions. And this is where I said, feel free to have your spouse, your girlfriend email me so I can tell you how many emotions men have, because I will verify that you all have them. So don't worry about it. Okay, emotional control. Some traders master this over time with patience, discipline, and additional cash, because you're going to have to refund your account every time you lose. Many don't survive and become another dropout statistic. Unfortunately, that's the reality. Non-mastery of one's emotions is the major reasons why so many fail in the business. Trading's 90% emotional. I'm going to even say it's 95%. kind of emotion, it'll mess you up when, or not take the trade at all. Okay, here's the adjustments. We're going to go from ape to man.
I like that. That's good.
Okay. I'll put that back for you a second. Okay. We're going to go from ape to man. That's how somebody feels, too, sometimes when they're trading.
Oh, yeah.
They feel like that.
Sure.
Like that. Especially if you were along on the short days last week.
Yeah.
Okay. Trading adjustments. You might want to write some of these down. Manage and learn to accept small losses. Small losses. You want to really manage, risk manage or control your losses, especially in the beginning. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I know that certain strategies have certain stop loss parameters, and that methodology is great. But if you're not implementing those methodologies exactly and precisely, then I would rather have you minimize your loss in the beginning until you can get going, or go into demo mode till you can master it, and then go live and go, you know, start small and then kind of work up. You know, if you do coaching, we have a process that you go through that weans you on your trading and slowly builds and builds and builds and builds with your successes. I like my traders to wake up in the morning and know, absolutely know, that no matter what the market throws at them, they can make money that day. Or if the market's not going to give them anything, that they're smart enough to say, there's nothing here, I'm not trading. So that they know both to read the market accurately.
And if I could just throw one little thing in.
Yeah.
And also, guys, I know that some of you wake up every morning with a knot in your stomach. Okay? If you're new to trading, and even maybe some of you that have been around trading for a while, you literally wake up with a knot in your stomach, because while you realize the day is filled with opportunity and that you can make X number of dollars, you also realize the other side of the coin is there. And you understand that you could potentially lose money today and not be profitable. Here's where I think goal setting becomes critical, because if you get up and go sit in front of your trading desk knowing that today may be my last day as a trader because I may blow my account up today because I don't have specific rules or parameters in place, that would make me very nervous too. Now, on the goal side, if you don't have a daily goal to work towards, it's kind of like the kids in the back of the car. Hey, Dad, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I just keep looking over my shoulder going, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You see that, guys? If you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you get there? Okay?
Right.
And by that same token, if you know that, okay, you have X number of dollars in your account, and based on your business plan and your trading plan, the most I'm willing to ever lose in any given trading day is X percent of my total account. Okay, you can sit down at your desk with complete peace of mind, no knot in your stomach, and go, I'm going to implement my plan. I know that the maximum amount I can lose is X, and if I hit that, then I'll be back again tomorrow. Because it's built into my plan. The worst possible scenario is built in and allows me to continue my career as a trader. And
yeah. Now,
on the other side, when I get to my target, I can look at the kids and go, hey, we're here. And we can get out of the car and go throw the ball or do whatever it is we came to do, because we know it's measurable. Okay? So I'm sorry. I just had to throw that
in. No, I want to make a point on what you're saying. What Dwayne is saying and what he's doing from a psychology perspective is he's creating the plan ahead of time, determining what his goal is, and then it takes the pressure off your mind of not having the plan. It will remove the pressure. And you have parameters that are in the guidelines of your comfort zone of what you are allowed to lose that day, so that you can let it go and say, okay, that was a day I lost. Okay, no big deal. We'll go on to the next day. And then you build your account one day after another. You know, you can create a game for yourself. I have some traders do a game and, you know, set, if I do 3 days in a row that I make X number of dollars, then I'm allowed to go and increase my goal, because you want consistency. Your goal is to build consistency. So you set your goal to do that. And then you increase and you can go to the next level. And you do it slowly. You build it slowly. And if you can't make that, make sure that you're looking at your trades in depth. You're getting your lessons. You're making adjustments. You just don't go in the next day without having not done any changes, but you make some changes because that will help you to succeed and help you to fine-tune whatever trading plan you come up with. Okay, next, awareness. Awareness of good patterns and bad patterns, and then no emotions while trading. Slay the emotional monster. Okay, so here we go. Manage and learn acceptance. The reality is losing is a natural part of the trading game. How much and how often divides the successes and failures? Okay, the old Wall Street quote, minimize your losers and maximize your winners. That you hear that all over Wall Street. Why? Because it's the main foundation of what traders go through. Learn from each hiccup. I call your trading mistakes hiccups. They're little. They're tiny. They're not big insurmountable mountains. They're little tiny hiccups that just happen that we have to learn from. Forgive yourself and let go of your ego. Trading is not about you. It's about making a great trade. So it's not about you being right or you being wrong and trying to master it against the market conditions. It is you making a great trade, you having a strategy and steps and setup that work and implement and then execute properly. That's making a great trade. Focus on the quality of your trade. Think of each loss as a way to expand, learn, and move your trading forward. Every time you lose, you have the opportunity to learn something really valuable. And sometimes it's one little thing that transforms and makes your trading take a quantum leap. One little tiny thing can make a huge difference. You know, when I first started down in the trading room, and I've told the story before, so forgive me if you've heard it before, I was on my third month, and I was looking at my numbers, and I felt good. I felt like my trading was doing okay, but I'd come at the end of the month, and I'd barely break even, or I'd make a little, like, nothing, you know, $600 at the end of the month. I'm going, what the heck? So I start to examine my trades. Well, I found out that I was winning every morning. I was giving my money back at lunchtime, and then the afternoon at the close, it would be like a 50-50 shot. Sometimes I'd make money, sometimes I'd lose money. But I didn't know that the time of day was making a big difference for me. So what I did was I said, okay, how could I fix this? I said, you know what? I'm not going to trade lunchtime. I can just give it back anyway. I'm going to go out and get lunch for the guys. So I used to go ask, okay, give me your lunch orders. I'm going out. And I would get the heck out of the office because they always wanted me to trade 24/7. If I was there, they wanted me trading. So I said, no, I'm going out. I'm going to get the lunch. So I used to go out and get lunch. It would give me time. I increased my profitability unbelievable just by not trading at lunchtime because it was the hardest time of the day for me to trade. And I became more cautious at the close when I traded, and I got more aware of what I was doing. And that increased my profitability. So that one little tweak of the time of day that I was trading made a huge difference. And it's just a small example. I have many of those examples, but that's just one that may not seem evident to you. But you might look at the day of the week that you trade and when are your winners versus your losers. I have some traders that will trade Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, not trade Mondays and Fridays because they're absolutely convinced they can't win on Mondays and Fridays. So, you know, you will find your style, your trading results. So the goal is to think of ways, let go of your ego. It's not about you. It's about making a great trade. Think of the losses. Expand and learn from them to move your trading forward. And adopt the belief that all losses are a reason or a lesson, and they're really great. And make those lessons cheap and worth something on the next trade. Don't take the next trade if the last one was a loser and you don't modify it. Why? Because your body may lock into that pattern thing and you may repeat the same exact thing that you did before. So if you stop and you find something and you adjust it, then you avoid getting the pattern. So here's the awareness of patterns. you know, be alert that the pattern is being formed. The first time is an error, second time is an error, stop. If you don't catch it the third time, you just stop your trading. Identify the pattern quickly. Take a break. Ask a question that provides alternatives. What could I see in this trade that would help me make it profitable? Where could I have entered that would have made it different? What could I see on my chart that would have given me a better indicator to enter? Where could I have exited? What other, maybe it was a fib. Did it fall into a fib? Did it fall to the high or the low of the day? Was it a particular support or resistance point? Anything. Ask questions. Questions are your power, especially when you're sitting there by yourself. The questions that you ask your mind will keep you out of the emotion. Questions keep you out of emotions because your mind is searching for the answer to the question and it doesn't have time to be in the emotion. So questions are powerful for you. Change the approach till one works. Test it. Feel good about what you did. Use the new pattern and install the good patterns by repeating those. Okay, no emotions. Work to let go of your emotions. Overtrading or getting hooked. The emotional monster, fear, frustration, anxiety, hesitation. These do not serve you. These emotions do not serve you, cannot help you, and will mess up your trading. Do not beat yourself up. You know what? Every trader goes through this. It's part of the learning curve. You cannot afford to beat yourself up. The market's going to give you enough challenge. Let that be your only challenge, the market. Don't let yourself be your own challenge. You can't afford that. Be kind to yourself. Be happy about what you did. Be happy if you find something new. Pat yourself on the back. Say, you know, I know what I did wrong. I'm going to do something great next time, and I'm going to do it differently, and I'm going to watch them. Maybe I'm going to watch it first. Maybe I'm going to test it first. Be really proud of how you're approaching it. But be smart about it. It's like a CSI search. We're digging here. I call it digging.
Yeah.
Hang on to your emotions. They're very, very toxic. In fact, in the trading room, we used to have people have to put a dollar. If they got emotional in the trading room, they had to put a dollar in the kitty because I saw it was like a cancer. It would spread through the whole room. If one guy started getting angry at himself and started saying things out loud, it would go to the next person, then the next person, then that. Before you know it, the whole room was trading badly. It was amazing to watch. It is very toxic. Okay, so don't hang on to the emotions. Okay, so here's the transformation. From acceptance of a loss, you want to learn to manage and accept small losses. So you want to minimize your losses as best you can, especially in the beginning. As you get better and you start to get some profitability, you can start increasing the length of your stop losses if your strategy requires that. Or you could have a better entry. There are two ways to satisfy, giving back too much money. Number one, you could make your stop loss tighter, or you could have a more precise entry. So those are two things you could work on. Patterns and automatic pilot triggers within the subconscious now become aware of good patterns. You want to write those down and repeat those, and then be aware of the bad pattern and make sure you change it. And then emotions, men are not emotional, you want to slay the emotional monster. Okay, be aware of trader's fog. Emotions create trader's fog, which can cause fast, unwanted reactions while executing a trade. Trader's fog doesn't allow you to see the problem or small challenge in the losing trade. The tendency is to slip into avoidance and denial mode. Trader's fog masks the solution and alternatives to the trade. It pulls your thinking into a negative direction. It prevents you from finding new distinctions that can create certainty in your trade, and it keeps the trader stuck and prevents them from moving forward. And this is being in emotion. So emotions create trader's fog. You can't learn when you're in emotions. You can't move forward in emotions. You can't implement the proper strategy when you're in emotion. All those things become trader's fog. You are just in nowhere land when you're in emotion. So you want to get out of that. Remove toxic thinking. Ask forward-thinking questions. Okay, fear, frustration, poor me, anger, hesitation, apprehensions, that's what you want to stay away from. When you start to think of these things or go into any emotion, ask, does it help my trading? No. If I'm staying in frustration, does it help me move forward? Or it should say help me move. No. Does it do anything good for me? No. So if these answers are no, 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 then stop doing it. Take an emotional vacation and take a break. Okay? And if you're in any of those emotions, it does nothing good for you. Absolutely nothing. So stay away from it. Stay clear from it. Reducing recovery time. Recovery time is the length of time it takes to disrupt a losing pattern. One bad trade after another. It varies from trader to trader and tends to shorten with experience and time. Learn to shorten each recovery time frame. Like I'll have a trader that go into a losing streak for a week and it takes them, you know, a couple days or 4 or 5 days to get over it. Then as time goes on, they don't lose for a week, they lose for 3 days and it takes them a day to get back on. And then with time passing and more experience again, a trader has one losing trade or three losing trades, and it takes them one trade to get back on. So what happens is the recovery time from a losing pattern gets smaller and smaller and smaller with time and experience, if you're making changes. But if you're not making changes, you will continue losing. So be very, very aware of that. Use your intelligence to get through the recovery time quickly. Scale back till you feel comfortable. Don't go with bigger size to get your money back. If your trading is off, you're off, you're off. You'll go down faster if your size is still high and your trading is off. You're in a bad pattern. You'll give the money back faster than you will make it back faster. Okay, so scale back till you feel comfortable and become stabilized. Know yourself well enough to take a break if needed. Great traders know when not to trade. I'm going to repeat that again. Great traders know when not to trade. If you are off, if you are emotionally off, and there are times when I'm off, I am just off. I am just not in sync with the market. I think it's, I have the intuition it's going one way, it goes the other way. I get into it, I switch it around. Of course, it switches around on me. I want to go long, it goes short. I go short, it goes long. If I am off and not in sync, I said, I'm done for the day. I am out of sync. Stay away. The next day you'll come in and everything will be hunky-dory and you'll be fine. Use a checklist of data to create
certain... No, can I just say one
thing? Yeah?
I don't believe enough people use hunky-dory anymore.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I want to start a movement to bring back hunky-dory.
Hunky-dory?
I do. I used to hear my grandparents say that all the time and you just never hear it anymore.
Hunky-dory.
So. All right. I'm sorry.
Yep, that's definitely an older expression.
Back to you, caller.
That dates me. It dates me. Use a checklist of data to create certainties in your trade. Again, look for trades that you did well. Analyze those trades and write it down so that when your trading goes off, you can repeat those. Or you can fine-tune a great trade. Maybe you didn't get enough out of it. You could have gotten more out of that trade. You can always fine-tune a great trade. But the quality of your trade is the key. Create new rules to protect your next trades. If you did something incorrect, create some rules. If you have a trade that you didn't execute properly, create some rules or distinctions. I define rules as things that protect your cash, and I'll give you a rule. A rule would be if my trade goes against me more than 2.5 points, I'm out of the trade. That's to protect your cash. That's a rule because it protects your cash. A distinction is something nice to know that helps your trading. So a distinction would be something like I'm always more cautious on option expiration day, or I'm cautious. I don't go into a trade if there's going to be an announcement or if there's a Fed announcement. That's a distinction. So something that protects your cash is a rule, and something that is a distinction is something that's nice to know that helps your trading. And you keep a journal of those. and in the morning before you trade, you reread them, because repetition is going to get them into your head faster than if you think you have it and you only do it once. You do not have it. Trust it. Trust me, it's not in there. Repetition is the mother of skill. So the more you can repeat it, the faster it gets into your mind and the faster you'll start to react automatically. When in doubt, stay out. That's one of my big rules. When in doubt, stay out. Watch for the toxicity of destructive emotional patterns. Watch for that. It's toxic. Ask questions to pull yourself back out into the reality of the moment. Be kind to yourself. If you don't, no one else will. Learn who you really are. Keep the good stuff, and you can change the rest. We all come to the trading desk with our stuff from the past. Keep the good stuff. Throw out the bad stuff. So when I came to the trading desk, you know, I was a professional dancer in another life. So I was a perfectionist. And when you're a classical dancer, perfection is the key. I mean, you're trained day in and day out to be perfect. Well, of course, when I wasn't perfect, I would beat myself up badly because that's how I was conditioned. That's where I brought to the trading desk was the stuff I did when I was a dancer. So I had to lighten up on myself. But the perfection worked for me in certain instances of my trading, but it worked against me in other instances. So I learned over time what to keep and what not to keep. Trade from your intelligence, not your emotions. Okay, if you need help, get help. Don't think that it's all going to go away. If you've got a block and these things are triggering automatically and you can't seem to break it, you've got a block. I define a block as this. If you see something in your trading that you want to do, if you're in a trade and you know you should exit that trade because it's not working for you and you don't because you're holding on, you've got a block. If you can't enter the trade because you're in fear that you're not going to be right, you have a block. So when your intellectual mind or your conscious mind wants to do one thing, but your subconscious mind does something different, causes fear, apprehension, uncertainty, hesitation, sometimes anxiety will cost you to go into a trade. Being anxious and wanting to go in the trade is an addictive behavior. The fear of missing out. I'm going to miss out. You know, everybody else is making money. The market's run. I'm going to miss out. You jump into a trade. That's a block. That's still a fear. The fear of missing out. Get help. Don't stay with that. The techniques that I have will teach you the coaching that I have teaches you a technique to break the block, and you will use it over and over and over because I'm very fussy about teaching my clients how to break a block, that they should have this in their arsenal for trading for their whole career. And that's why my coaching clients don't call me back, because I give them the stuff and they go on their way and they do their thing. Okay, so great traders possess courage to face their internal monsters. Great traders know that they have weaknesses and they will seek out help. Just like if a baseball player or a basketball player realizes that he's having some trouble with his shots, they'll get a coach to help them fine-tune that. Coaches are part of fine-tuning things, and it works. You can go on for a long time, have the same problem. It will not go away in trading, unfortunately. It'll start to stack and stack and stack, like I told you, with the bad patterns and like the string turning into a cable. The blocks just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it's over. And so you don't want that to happen. Get help. There are many different things that I have on the website. There's a lot of free stuff on my website that you can go to. There are a lot of old radio shows. Even though they're old, they're based on psychology. Psychology never changes. Psychology has never changed over the time I've been in here. It's gotten worse because of different situations, but there's a lot of great free stuff on the site. So your emotional baggage can cost you big in your trading. That's why so many don't make it. Decide that you have courage and get help if you need to. Okay, questions. Can you ask any questions there, Duane?
Yes, I certainly can. For guys, if you have
anybody
any
have any questions
at all, just let me get out my little question box.
And I'm gonna flip over. There's radio show archives. Oh, yeah. Let me go through this here. You can get the Sharpen Your Trading CD that works on how you analyze your trades. It works for any kind of methodology, or if you're doing options, if you're doing currency, if you're doing futures, if you're doing stocks. This methodology is a foundation to help you analyze your trades, and it's powerful. Your personal coaching, I have a thing called a 5-pack. They're five half-hour sessions. That's the best because it's more focused, but I also have the blockbuster package that people can look to. That's a smaller package. That's less money, but it teaches you the block and gives you a couple other things there. And we have the new webinars that I've been doing on a regular basis now. They're every 3 or 4 weeks. The next one's November 5th at 4:15. It's $25. It's a $200 session, and it's called Creating a Powerful Trader's Identity. This works with conditioning the subconscious mind to create and reinforce who you believe you are, and this new person is what your actions will reflect. So if you have trading challenges, this actually helps you to reverse some of the challenges that you have. And it's $25, guys. I've never offered this for this kind of price. And it's absolutely worth it. The people from the first session are doing fabulously well. I had one of the guys email me back and said, you know, I never did coaching before. I really wasn't sure if this was going to work or not. But I've been doing that identity thing, and that is amazing. That is the best $25 as I've spent. Already I see the changes in my trading. It is fabulous. It is fabulous. And I'm doing that to give people an introduction into what coaching is like, because a lot of people don't realize what it's like. They think I'm going to ask you if you were breastfed by your mom or whatever. I don't do anything like that. You know, we get down to your trading issues, and I give you tools and techniques that attack your trading challenges. We go from there. So the 5-pack is the best. They'll give you the most. But if the 5-pack is too pricey for you, then you go down to the blockbuster, and that gives you some really good tools and does include identity in there. Identity is actually in there. If you do identity and you decide you want to do the blockbuster, I take $25 off and the package, so you don't pay for it twice. So I've done that because the identity is part of the blockbuster package as well, but we do it on the phone together. You and I do it on the phone together versus in the webinar. But the webinar is an hour, so you're actually getting more time by doing it this way. And then here's where on the private email, that's where the two people that had the was the best, and the 3 and the 19, send me an email to rdcoach@yahoo.com. I like to finish, be happy, be healthy, have fun, but please most of all be responsible. You and only you are responsible for your trading successes. And if you have any questions, feel free to call me and talk to me, and I'll explain things. I don't charge you for that. I want people to understand what they're getting into, and they have to be committed or I don't take them. I've actually turned people down. And it's better to email me at the rdcoach22, but you could do it to the info@robindane.com, but you'll get a faster response at the rdcoach.
Okay, now I put the link.
Questions?
I put the link into the chat box, but I'm going to also put in your email address, rdcoach22@yahoo.com.
Right.
Right.
And then, that webinar is November 5th. And that's the link that Dwayne put in there.
Yep.
I really, really highly recommend it. If you've been through identity and you're in the room and you want to make a comment, then feel free to do that, and you can tell other people about it. I don't like to toot my own horn. I like my clients.
I want you to know that we really appreciate that on a rainy day in New York City when there's no markets. And, guys, there's going to be no markets again tomorrow. Okay, the markets
is that right?
Closed. Yeah, they just flashed it on the screen.
Oh, they did.
And it's already looking really bad. So,
yeah.
To the best of my knowledge, and God willing, we will be here to do a radio program tomorrow, however brief. If you are in the path of the storm and you want to connect with us, or able to connect with us, or send us any messages as to what you're going through, just email support@cfrn.net or join the program tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Robin, I thank you for taking the time today to share with us this presentation, something that normally people, as I said earlier, pay very good money for. Robin was kind enough to take time today to spend with you and to share with you, which, you know, you can often, you know, tell a lot about a person by what they're willing to give you. So if she's willing to give you that, imagine what you might get once you break out your own checkbook.
You know, I say 5 half-hour sessions, but they always end up running over.
There was
and
a
we
question.
Record them.
There
we,
was a question. We, now, there's quite a few people that have hung out for the entire presentation, and I know you got some questions because you hung around, but people are so it's tough for you to spill the beans because you know I'm going to see your name, but I'm the only one
that
sees your name.
Yeah, but I don't see it, and nobody else sees it.
I'm the only one, guys, so...
I mean, feel free to ask because I'm here. This is your opportunity, and I'm on the radio show every day. You can ask any day.
This
is a nice day today because you're not pressured by, oh, let's talk about the markets.
That's true.
A day where we don't have to watch the market today. So this is a good opportunity to talk about the psychology. I wish I could be here tomorrow, but Tuesdays is my I have appointment day Tuesdays that I can't be there tomorrow. So today is the day to ask your questions while we have the time. And, you know, anything, throw out a challenge. Put down your biggest challenge. Just write your biggest challenge in there, and let me give you some tools on how to do it.
One of the questions
I'll put $100 on that somebody else in the room's got the same problem.
Absolutely. One of the questions, or the only question I have at the moment out of all these people, is why would someone have a really hard time writing down their goals?
Well, because they probably didn't have a methodology on how to write down their goals. And so one of the things that I'm actually creating is how to create a trading plan. Most people don't have a trading plan and your goals. So if you have – first look at your – let me give you how to write your goals. First look at what your situation is. So what is your situation? So I'm going to just create an example, okay, for you to. Let's say I have a job right now, a part-time job, and I trade part-time. Okay, that's my background right at the moment. So what are my goals? How do I set my goals? Well, my first goal is I want to trade full-time. I want to be able to make enough money trading full-time and give up my part-time job. Okay, so that's my first goal. Okay, so how do I get there? So I ask the question, how do I get there? Well, to do that, I got to make enough money. So that means my trading has to be how much per month? I mean, this is how detailed you get, how much per month. Well, let's say I've got expenses of $3,000 a month. So I have to make at least a minimum of $3,000 a month trading before I can give up my first job, my second part-time job. So, how do I do that? Well, I have to build up my trading account and my confidence so that I can make that much money. Okay, well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to give myself a year. Give myself a year. I'm not going to put a lot of pressure on myself. Be careful of sometimes you put some pressure on yourself that's unnecessary. If you don't mind doing the part-time job and you want to take your time, move slowly, and really fine-tune your trading, then let's say I'm going to give myself a year, and that means I have to make... by the end of the year, $3,000 per month and more to feel comfortable trading. And so I would set my goals. Okay, my first month, I need to make X number of dollars. And so let's say we came up with $500 minimum. Let's say for the first 3 months, $500 minimum. Let's say for the next 3 months, it's $1,000 minimum. Let's say for the next 3 months after that, it's $1,500 minimum. And then you crank it up, because if you're doing $1,500 a month consistently, you can probably increase size and jump pretty quickly to three. So the key thing is getting the beginning part. The hardest part is the very beginning. So set your goal small. I have people that have just started that I set, I want you to make $50 a day. That's it. I don't want you to have a lot of pressure, $50 a day. And if you hit your goal of $50 a day, you're allowed to take one more trade as long as it's positive. And if it's positive, you can continue trading as long as each trade after that is positive. So I hit my $50 goal. I have to be really, really cautious, because if I don't take this next trade and it's not positive, I have to stop for the day. This creates discipline. I have to stop for the day. So now I made my $50. I get one trade. I'm going to really, really look hard at the market. I got to be careful, because I have to make at least a dollar on my trade. I have to pay for my tickets. So I have to make at least a tick, or I can't take that trade. Now wait for a good trade. Wait for a good trade. Ah, there's a good trade. I can get at least 2 points out of that trade. Let me take that trade. Okay, I'm going in there. Trade starts to go in my favor. Starts to pull back on me. Uh-oh, it's starting to pull back on me. I've got to lock in cash, because if I don't, I got to stop for the day. Lock in cash. Okay, I locked in cash. I'm allowed to go again. Take another trade. So if your trading is on and you're in the swing of things and you're in sync with the market, then I want you to trade. But if you're off, I don't want you to trade. I don't want you to keep giving back money. I also set the rule that if you set your goal for the day, you're not allowed to lose more than you know you can make in the day. If you can make $100 a day, then I don't want you to lose more than $100 in the day. Because otherwise it will take you more than one day's work to get the money back. So if you lose $100 in a day, then it's going to take you one day to get it back. But if you lose $500 in a day and you know you can only make $100 in a day, it's going to take you a week to get back. You're going to go into frustration. You're not going to be moving forward. You're going to be always digging out of the hole. You got to be careful about that. Set your goal for the day, a goal that you know you can make. I don't care if it's $25. Set the goal and make it. You will feel better the next day that you made your goal than when you fail.
Yep.
When you fail and you don't make your goal.
Yep. You're so right. Yep. Absolutely.
So set your goals small. If you're new, set them small and build and build and build. So, you know, that's pretty easy. I could do that. You know what? I could take one more trade. You know, I did 50 today. You could end up in the week setting a goal for $50 a day, and you could end up with 500 at the end of the week if your trading is on. But what you don't want to do is make $100 in a day and lose 1,000. That's what you don't want to do. And I can't tell you how many traders do that. Do not do that. Stop. Get away from the computer and dig. Dig and look at the trades that you've lost at. Though there are pearls in there. Now I call them digging for pearls. You will find them. They're there. And then modify your trade. And go back into demo mode if you're not secure. Try it out. Then flip back and go live. Some people say, well, I have trouble making the transition. This is a big one. Do I have a question I have to answer? Dwayne?
Well, there was another comment here. Biggest challenge today is to follow through with things, and in trading, follow through with my trading plan consistently.
Okay. So there could be a fear popping up in that particular scenario, which means that you could have a block. If you're going into like this anxious, fearful kind of mode when you're in the trade and you're exiting too soon, okay, that's telling me there could be a block of fear in there somewhere that is causing you to exit the trade. So what does the trader do in that moment? In that moment, you need to create certainty. And to create certainty in the moment, you got to ask questions. What could I see in this moment that would tell me it's okay to stay in the trade? What could I see in this moment in my indicators that would make me feel more comfortable it's okay to stay in the trade? So you keep going through that, and you get more and more confidence by looking at the indicators that are there. Now, if the indicators are not there, then maybe it is time for you to get out of that trade. Your goal is to read the market, not be in the emotion and make an emotional decision. So what is the market telling you? My favorite question of all time while you're in the trade is, what's really happening? what's really happening. And if you do that, what's really happening all the time, what's really happening, what's really happening, what's really happening. If you're in a long trade and all of a sudden you see all your indicators start turning red and going down, it is not working. What is really happening? That's going down. What's really happening? That's going down. What's happening? Well, that reversal is a lower low, lower high. That's working. Oh, broke through the support level. Oh, that's not working. Get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
You know, get out.
And
not working.
And that's where your mind will start to mess with you, is it will start to see things that aren't there to try and justify your position.
Right.
And which is why if you have a plan that comes with a hard stop, you don't have to make those types of emotional decisions in the heat of the battle. You've already made them from the war room in a much cooler, calmer environment. You've decided that on any one trade, doesn't matter how good it looks or how lucky I feel, on any one trade, I only risk X amount, period.
Right.
And
right.
Look, and you go, oh, yeah, but this setup, see, this one required a little extra. Okay, wait for the next setup. Then that's not your mm-hmm. setup because it defied the reasonable loss that you're willing to take per trade on a percentage basis based on the size of your account. Now, what Robin's saying about if your goal is even as humble as $50 a day, there's nothing wrong with that. You hear me talk about 2 points, that's $100 a day, okay? Now, here's the thing. If it takes you 10 trades to net 2 points, hear me out, if it takes you 10 trades to net 2 points, your mind is going to go, well, gee, I only made $100. And depending upon what you pay for a round-trip trade, you know, I only made $100, and the broker made $60. So this business model is broken. I need to figure out something else. Stop. You made $100 net profit in your pocket. You actually made $160 because you paid the broker his. Remember, I said 2 points net. Okay, so even if you have to make 10 trades, and that really is quite a large number of trades, but let's say, you know, you're just not that good yet. And so you got to take a few shots. All right, that's okay. At the end of the day, if you've made $100 and you had to pay the broker man $60 in commissions, even if you didn't net it, even if you just grossed it, hear me out, even if you just grossed 2 points, which means you made $100 and you've now got to give 60 of it to the broker man, that means you made 40%. Do you have any idea what the guy down there selling Subway sandwiches would do to have a 40% margin on every sandwich that he sells? He'd be dancing in the streets. He'd be giving away sandwiches. Okay, so people get hung up on, oh, there's too many trades and I got to pay too much in commissions. No. As long as you keep a reasonable loss on every trade, which is predefined before you enter the trade, then, you know, because I know what happens with so many people. They get up, they're all fired up, they're prayed up, they've sat, you know, cross-legged and visualized how the day is going to go. All great things. All things I encourage you to do. But then you take the first trade and you get kicked in the gut like that. You're down 2 points. Okay. See, some of you begin to wail and, you know, gnash your teeth, pull your hair, instead of just going, okay, well, so the first trade, you know, it's not a problem. I got 8 more bullets here. So you load the gun and you pull the trigger. Maybe the next one you pick up 2 points, so you're at break even. Okay, you've used 2 of your bullets. You still got, you had 9 left. Now you got 8 left. Okay, remember, all you're trying to do is end up the day with 2 points. And so what if the broker actually makes more than you? If you come out net positive on the day, that's a very good thing. And that's with one contract. Over time, as you earn your way to trading 2 and earn your way to trading 3 and earn your way one by one to trading 10, that $100 becomes $1,000. And that's a substantial sum of money. Now, there's great risk in trading. You can lose it all. You should consult with a licensed investment professional before making any investment decision. But what I'm telling you here makes perfect sense. Now, Justin says, I've heard so many gurus say you should not set daily goals, but that you should make monthly goals or maybe a weekly goal. And I say there's nothing wrong just with having a weekly goal and a monthly goal, but I think you should have a daily goal as well. And I'm not opposed to even breaking it down to hourly goals. And the hourly goal is simply that if my setup appears, I will take it. If it doesn't, I won't. That's your hourly goal.
Right.
Next
I have to read you this one line from this email, and I'm not giving out. I don't normally give out stuff, but I want to just read this one sentence. It's about this new client, and this is a very, very successful trader. It says, "I'm looking forward to speaking with you. I just hope I'm not beyond even your help. I wish I could understand why my trading's like this and how I went from my first 14 years of trading career without a single negative net P&L month. And then after I had my first negative month loss in 2009, I haven't made a single positive year since. It's so confusing." Oh. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah. I just pulled back the screens, but no, keep
going. Okay, yeah, that's fine.
No.
So, here's somebody, 14 years been in trading, has a trading career, very successful. He got a block in 2009. He says, I haven't made money every single year. It's so confusing because the block grows and grows and grows and grows. So even successful traders, after many, many years of success, have this issue. So all I'm telling you is it is the number one killer of traders. It is the thing that I'm writing the book on. I've got to get the book out the way, and I just got to get it out because it is the number one killer of all traders.
I'll race you to see who gets done first.
Huh?
I'll race you to see who gets done first with their book, me or you.
Oh, okay. That's a good deal. That's a real good deal.
Now, guys, I did a post a few nights back or a week ago. Let's find it. 4 critical goal setting tips for e-mini traders. If you'll go to the blog and read this, it really breaks it down. Number one, your goals need to be clearly defined. Your goals must be realistic.
Yeah. That's
important. And
you know what?
Must be attainable.
Goals can be adjusted.
Yeah.
Be sure that if you set a goal and it's not working, adjust it. Adjust it. You made the plan. You can adjust the plan.
That's right.
Sorry.
No. You're absolutely right. That's why it's got to be now this realistic and attainable. Those kind of the dividing line there gets a little blurred. But if you'll read what I've written about both of those, you'll see that there is a difference between realistic and attainable. What's realistic for Michael X is not attainable for me, okay, simply based on experience and depth of account. So you have to create a goal that is for you, clearly defined, realistic, attainable, and it's got to be measurable. Now, these guys that say, don't set a daily goal. Oh, don't go to the office expecting to make any money. You know, I'm talking about David. David knows, and I disagree with him wholeheartedly on that point. And God bless America, we can agree to disagree. I believe that, for me, my goal every day is to earn some money. And I believe that if you're going to be in business, if you're going to be in the next time David makes that comment, say, okay, well, how about your trading business? Is your goal to make money in that business every day? I guarantee you his answer will be yes. See? He's reached a point where he can separate the two, and he has the luxury of coming from a place where he's not driven by that need for money. You need to somehow be able to equally set yourself apart, even though you may be driven by a need for money. That's tough. That's a tough thing to do. And David will be on the show tomorrow, and we'll talk about this topic again. And I know that he'll still stand his ground, that he doesn't believe in having that daily goal. But I'm going to say to you that as a new trader, without a daily goal, you're like, you know, the captain of a ship without a map. You're like dad on summer vacation without a roadmap. You're just floating. And how will you ever know when you get there? The kids go, hey, Dad, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you just keep looking back going, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Got to have a goal. He's never going to sway me. He swayed me on a lot of things over the years, like using an hourly chart that's set on the half hour instead of the top. He finally sold me on that after a couple of years. But not having a daily goal, yeah, he's never going to push me over the edge on that one. Let's see. What else do we have in the chat box? Going to have to move that sticker, what's really happening, onto the middle of my chart on the screen from the bottom of the monitor.
Yep, that's where I have mine, right at the bottom of my monitor.
Did you answer this question if you could help him? Oh, the guy you were talking about on the phone, who asked if you could help him. Did you answer his question?
He's going to be doing coaching with me. He's in the storm right now.
Okay.
And so, you know, he said that they are, you know, he thinks he's going to lose the internet connection. He says all the tunnels and bridges are closed till later in the day. It seems the worst hurricane in 30 years, possibly 100. He says he doesn't want to take the chance and break and just, you know, and he doesn't know what he's going to lose. So, he's going to be working with me. He's a real high-end trader, and he's going to be working with me. So we'll get him turned around. But he tried to do it on his own. We had a long talk. We must have been on the phone for an hour when I first talked to him. I thought he was going to sign up right away. And then he went back, and I think he tried to do it on his own. Couldn't do it. He says, okay, I'm ready now. So don't let that time go by. He gave up so much money. In the meantime, he could have been fine. So don't throw away your money. You might as well give me the money and learn something than give it back to the market. You know what I mean? You might as well learn something to make your trading better than giving it to the market and then going out of the business. Because that's what will happen if you've got a bad block. And that's why he's desperate now and saying, oh, we got to do it. So,
oh, that's good.
It works.
Well,
Robin, I can tell you, it works.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today, guys. You can go visit Robin at robindane.com. Let me show you up on the screen just how easy it is.
And do the webinar. I mean, for $25, you got nothing to lose.
Okay.
And only everything to gain. Everything to gain just with that particular one. It's a really good 21. It's a 21-day exercise that I teach you during that time that will help you reverse some of your trading weaknesses. So if you're anxious, it'll help you reverse that.
If you are impatient
or if you are uncertain, all those things can get helped to be reversed with creating a powerful trader identity. But there's a lot of free stuff on the site too, so check it out.
No www's required, just simply robindane, DAYNE.com.
Yeah, it's on the right. It's on the right side there.
Sign up now.
Yeah.
November 5th. Click to register.
Click to register.
Boom, there you are. The link is also in the chat room.
Now, when you click to register and you fill out that information, wait a couple seconds because what it will do is it will pop you into the store and then you just pay for it. Okay, if you don't do that, then you have to go into the store. So just wait in that moment after you register, and it'll pop you right into the store, and you just pay for it, and you're good to go. I see it come through, and then I sent you an approval with the link.
There you go.
And then I'll see you on the 15th. Or is it the 15th? The 5th, sorry, the 5th.
The 5th. And we've got the webinar on the 31st, guys. I'll remind you again, 3:30 with Steve Bigelow, my candlestick mentor. He's going to come and spend an hour and share some stuff. And it's really fascinating. You know, in an hour, you can determine.
There's actually a radio show on my site with Steve. I did a radio show with Steve.
Oh, did you? He's been around for a long time.
Long time.
He was a broker for years.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah, he is. He's well-rounded. If you don't believe me, look at his picture. moving right along, I can say that because I'm well-rounded. Up on the screen, guys, is the soybean chart, and I'm still using that 6-10 tick chart that we put up when Jonathan was on. And we had a 27-cent drop overnight in the beans into this morning. Okay. Now, soybeans pay $50 per penny, just like the S&P 500 pays $50 per point. Had you traded this stem to stern, that's worth $1,350 per contract. The chance of you trading it perfectly stem to stern are slim to none. But if you take just part of a trade like this, and remember the tweets are always a bigger picture view of the market, and notice what happened here. And I always get questions about this. In fact, Bert had a question about it. Somebody emailed him overnight. They said, hey, I missed the original entry on this thing. It looks like it's going to retest. If it retests that area, should I take it? Now, guys, I've written posts about this. I've talked about it. Look what happened. We broke down through 1551. That was our trigger to get short. It comes down, comes right back up, tests 1551, literally to the tick. The high of that candle was 1550.75. Missed it by one tick. Retesting the 51, and then, boom, it does it. So, watch this little pattern right here. Think of this as a frozen lake. It falls through a hole in the ice, then it comes back up, bonks its head on the ice, because the hole's over here, bonks its head on the ice, and down she goes. Okay? So that was the soybean tweet from last night. We had another tweet as well that got triggered. Our swing trade hasn't triggered yet. Corn hasn't triggered yet. But the British pound... I did that for our one listener who really likes trading the pound. Let's go to 6BZ2. Okay. And then let's go to our Twitter. And let me find the tweet. I did a lot of tweeting last night, so I'll have to scroll down to find it. Okay, here we go. Right here.
I got a tweet for Dummies book.
Did you? Consider being short the British pound, 16055. So, 16055. Let's have a look at that. That's 65. I got to get it down to 55. Get a straight line first.
16055.
There we go. Okay, so this is where our tweet triggered in last night when it broke down through the 55. And again, I'm just using the 610 chart because that's what I had up here from when Jonathan was on. But look what happened to price. It fell through the hole in the ice, then it came back up. Remember, the hole in the ice is over here. It comes back up. It bumps its head on the ice. There's no hole there. And down she goes. Tested that price again, almost to the tick. People keep saying, hey, does it always do that? No, I can't say it always does that. But how often do we see it happen, and do I come on the show and talk about it happening? So let's see. We were at up here. Our tweet was 16055. And let's see, 16055 minus, let's see how far this thing traveled. 16004. That gives us 51 potential. takes pips, as they're called. 51 pip drop. Okay. Now, pips, those are worth $12.50 each. So, stem to stern, one contract, that was a $625 move. However, no one would expect you to get out at the perfect exit. I did write a blog the other night on how important it is to pick your exit, and I've done a number of blogs lately on how to pick your exit. Needless to say, there was 51 pips available. If you only grabbed a few of those pips, okay, then that's a great thing. So, continue to watch the tweeter. We will tweet about 2 to 3 times a week. We already had 2 good tweets this week, and the market's going to be closed 2 days, today and tomorrow. We will be doing the radio program again tomorrow, God willing. The markets will, God willing, reopen on Wednesday, and everything will still work. We don't know how bad this is going to get or not get. I mean, some are saying it could be the worst storm in history, and others are saying it won't be. Okay, it is being described as unique and unprecedented event. Now, you may have noticed that the soybean chart was still moving. So there are some markets that are trading and have movement, and they may trade and have movement tomorrow. But based upon what happens with this storm, gosh, guys, the markets could do any number of things. This is like a multi-day, bigger-than Fed announcement. So my recommendation, unless you are on the short side of this thing, I would not be in this market. Okay? If you're a partner and you took the swing trade or have entered into, it hasn't triggered yet, but if you entered a trade to be in that swing trade last night, I'm not against you doing that as long as you maintain a reasonable stop loss, as we've taught you to do as a partner. Beyond that, I think this one is better left to just sit it out up in the bleachers, grab some popcorn, snuggle up under a blanket, pray for your friends, pray for your family, pray for people you don't even know. Sometimes you've ever done that? You're just standing in line at a store, and there's a perfect stranger right in front of you, although few people are perfect, so chances are he's an imperfect stranger, but you just get to thinking about them, and you just decide that you're going to spend the next 10 minutes standing there in line praying for that person, praying for their health, praying for their wealth, praying for their family, praying for their finances. You ever done that? God, it makes you feel good. It's so much more productive than standing there worrying about your own lousy lot in life. Lifts my spirits. It's one of my hobbies. Just go out in the crowd. Just go to the mall and just pray for strangers. Try it sometime. You might like it. Okay, I guess that's going to do it, Robin. Again, thanks so much for coming and sharing with us and being a part of this radio show today. I really enjoyed it, and I certainly hope that everyone
I'm thrilled
here.
And I did send you a link. It's a Romney link, mm-hmm. that was done on CBS News that people should see. It's really fabulous. And it was on CBS, which I can't believe. But it was. And that's a link that you can see.
I'm putting it in the chat room right now.
We should say a prayer for those that are, or light a candle for the gut. For those that are in the middle of this mess out there with this storm, because it looks like it could be really, there's 65 people been killed already in the Caribbean from this storm.
Wow.
Already. So it could be really bad, and just have your thoughts with those people. The collective thought can be powerful.
Yep.
That they'll be okay, and it's not going to be as bad as they think it could be. Hopefully this is the time that you want the weather guy to be wrong.
Absolutely.
You know?
We want the weatherman to have egg all over his face.
Exactly.
All right, Robin. Thank you so much.
Exactly. Thanks, Dwayne. And thank you so much, everybody. You have a great day. And I will be missing you tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we'll see you on Wednesday.
Okay. Okay, great.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Guys, we're going to wrap it up today with a quick word of prayer. Father, we just pray that you would continue to watch over Jim, his daughter Amber. We claim healing for her, and we just ask that you bring a special peace to Jim and to his wife, for Michael and his family. Lord, we ask that you watch over them. We ask for a miracle for his mother-in-law. Lord, we don't know if it's her time to come home or what you have in store for her. But Lord, we just pray that perfect peace would surround all of them, and that they would know in their hearts and their minds that you are in control of this situation. And Father, for all those people who are in the path of the storm, friends, family, and people we don't even know, God, we pray for a hedge of protection around them and their property. We know there's going to be destruction. We know there's going to be devastation. We understand the forces of nature. Your word never said that as believers we would not experience a storm. Your word simply says that we'll have peace amidst the storm. So that's what we're asking for, God, is peace amidst the storm, for safety, for well-being. We thank you for all of your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, that's going to do it. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back again tomorrow, same time. Thanks for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.